United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned.
Talk 600 WSOM for the local talk show that stimulates your mind and relates to you. Weekdays from noon to 3. Afternoons with Tracy and friends engages the Valley in conversation about everything from local issues to important global topics. Afternoons with Tracy and friends. Personal talk that keeps you thinking. Weekdays from noon to 3. Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. since we've no place to go. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. Lights are turned down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you'll really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. Long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Doesn't care if it's 10 below. He's sitting by the fire's cozy glow. He don't care about the cold and the winds that blow. He just says, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Let it snow.
Ooh-wee, goes the storm. Why should he worry when he's nice and warm? His gal by his side and the lights turn low. He just says, let it snow, let it snow.
I don't care.
Outside is frightful, but that fire is delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 8 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here on the 26th of November, and we are having one of our first heavy snowstorm warnings. So if you're out there traveling and getting ready to go and getting prepared for Thanksgiving, as you're traveling around, please, please, please be very, very careful. The roads are not too bad as of yet, but the visibility can be a little bit diminishing. I've been out all morning long, and it didn't look, they said it was going to not come until 3 o'clock. But here in Mahoning County, I don't know about down there in Trumbull and Columbiana County, but you can call in with your weather report. It is, you will see, it is... It's beginning to snow. It's beginning to look like Christmas. So please, as you're out and you're traveling today on this Tuesday, please be careful. Today I know you're expecting me and Jeff, but you get me alone, so I'm home alone. And I want you to call in because it's going to be an open mic day. The number is 347-945-5229, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you today. I'm going to talk about little things that I'm on my mind. I'm preparing for Thanksgiving, so my mind is really shot. If it hasn't had thanks and giving and food, it's really not on my mind. I haven't seen too much of the news, but I want someone to call in and give. If you want to give a Thanksgiving food tips, please do so. My girlfriend's sending me out Thanksgiving. Sent me a turkey. Told her to take the turkey out the freezer. She said, no, you can't take it out this early. I'm afraid that I'm going to get there, it's not going to be thawed, and I'm going to have frozen turkey and can't cook it. But I'm going to take her word at it, and I'll go from there. So I want to hear your Thanksgiving cooking tips. Tell me what you're going to be doing for the Thanksgiving holiday. It looks as though that if you're traveling by plane, it looks as though the airlines are being a little bit lenient with us. And if you want to cancel your flight or if you want to change your flight or if you want to make some other arrangements, they're going into a flexible schedule so that you don't get stuck because it looks as though they're going to be delaying flights throughout the country and as they travel, especially in the East Coast. So if you have to go to New York, Chicago, if you have to go into the snowy places, you might want to take some use of that if you can. If not, if you're traveling by car, you might want to do a little bit of altering your schedule, leaving out early or planning to make it later if you're going to try to get in. Don't do it this afternoon, I understand. Maybe tomorrow morning, I understand it's going to be a little different. I want to talk about just read something, and I'm going to have to read it when I take my next break. I guess the Supreme Court, and let me get this right, because I said, what? The Supreme Court's going to take up more on the health care. President Obama's health care law is headed to the Supreme Court showdown over companies' religious objections to the law's birth control mandate. So that's doing, there's something on there. We have Fox News up here, and I can't hear anything and don't read the words. Because can't read and talk at the same time. I'm sorry, I can't do that. But also, it says that the president, they're going to have they're talking about death panels and changing things and all that kind of stuff. So I don't really know what they're talking about there. So if you're listening and you can call in and tell me what's going on there, I'd like to know. Because I haven't, as I said, I'm in Thanksgiving mode. And Thanksgiving mode is so far from mode. Thanksgiving mode is very far from me. So I'm going to, you know, I gotta get in the mood to cook. Get in the mood for family and talk a little bit about, you know, you got family coming in, people you haven't seen in a very, very long time. You're going to be sharing the weekend together. So you got to get yourself together and not get in the hustle and bustle of things. The number is 347-945-5229. So I want to hear from you today. What else is going on today? I want to talk about some drugs. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to key it in right now. But it's called Crocodile, K-R-O-R-O-C-I-D-I-L, a crocodile. And it is and it's in Ohio. It's here where we are. And it is a flesh-eating drug. Crocodile is in the United States. Ohio sheriff tells locals to get your heroin from a trusted source because it is a flesh-eating drug. A sheriff in the United States. Oh, that's not what I'm looking for. Sorry about that. It says a sheriff in the U.S. state of Ohio has told local residents to be careful where they buy their heroin after a report involving Russian flesh-eating drug called Crocodile. Athens County Sheriff Patrick Kelly broadcast this unorthodox message on a local television station after seeing a needle drug user converted scaly marks. Crocodile told 10TV he was convinced that it had injured, and it's amazing what this thing does. If you look it up, it'll blow your mind, so don't eat while you're doing it. And I was having a meeting this morning, and the lady was telling me about it, because I was telling her about some things that we're doing, and she said, well, and are you going to do it on drugs? I said, absolutely. We have to talk about drugs, because drugs is the erosion of the fabric of America, if it really is. And this drug actually, it's a flesh-eating drug. And it's made out of over-the-counter an opiate or over-the-counter headache drug, and is a powerful, fast-acting sedative. But they also mix in iodine, they mix in gasoline, and people don't know the difference between that and actual heroin, and so they're injecting it into their system, and their skin is falling off, and their limbs are falling off. So I want us to keep our eyes and ears open. It came out of Russia due to increased clandestine production, presumably due to its relatively simple synthesis of codeine and how it's made. It's a bad deal. But, you know, I look at this thing called, they call it designer drugs, and things that are done inside of people's kitchens. And they're like bath salts and those kinds of things that are out there. And I don't think we pay attention to them because at one time you could buy all these things right at the local gas station. And so if you're buying at the local gas station, people don't think that it can be harmful. And it was very, very harmful. People were buying it. The kids were buying it over the Internet, and they were freaking out and going crazy. And so I'm telling everybody, please, you know, be mindful because this is dangerous. And there are other drugs that are like that. And as I get more and more into it, and if you hear anything else, give me a call. My number is 347-945-5229. Want to be abreast of that because that's nothing pretty. That's nothing pretty. Bad, bad, bad. Bad, bad, bad. And we have enough problems with our young people today than to be actually inside of another new drug that's going to cause them almost fatal harm, more so than what's already out there. Want to talk about, let me find out what else. There was something else that I wanted to bring up while I was on a roll here. I talked about the court weighing in on Supreme Court. They're asking him to weigh in on the President's Affordable Health Care Act and what's going on with that. And I need for people to really be mindful. This is bigger than what people are paying attention to. I'm just saying it out loud, and they're not being honest with us. Mark Halperin contains. Let me play this for you. It's talking about Mark Halperin, and Mark Halperin is a consultant, and he is a correspondent with MSNBC, and he's saying that Obama contains death panels. Well, the last time I heard that the Affordable Health Care Act had death panels, it was from Sarah Palin, and they swore up and down that wasn't true. So I need for somebody to tell me, is it true or is it not true?
Joe, and as promised, making a return appearance is editor-at-large and a senior political analyst at Time, also political analyst for MSNBC, and co-author of the bestseller, Double Down, Game Change 2012. We say hello to Mark Halperin. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Steve, I'm great. Thanks for having me back.
That's my pleasure. Okay, let's start with, of course, the deal with Iran. The AP is reporting today that the U.S. and Iran have been secretly talking for over a year, to get to the point that we've got to yesterday and where we are today. We have the Saudis saying they're going to do what they have to do to defend themselves, Israel saying the same thing. Then reports that they've been talking, Israel's inspecting Saudis' bases. You know, there are a lot of people who say that this deal ties Israel's hands. Is that kind of, do you think, the purpose of the deal, to put Israel on the defensive, back on their heels, so that they wouldn't bomb Iran? Or do you think that Obama fully expects that they might just do it anyway?
Well, look, the relationship between both Israel and the United States and between President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu are both pretty fraught, and it's hard to know always what conversations they're having that may offer a window into whether this is truly a disagreement or simply both leaders having to say what they need to say. I think there's no doubt that President Obama thinks the right way to proceed in Israel's interests is to have these secret talks and now to strike this deal as a stage to perhaps a larger deal. And there's no doubt that Prime Minister Netanyahu is much more skeptical of the Iranian government and what might happen. I think in the long run, there's so much scrutiny here that it'll be difficult for the president to do a big deal if the Israelis don't get more in sync with where he is. And the two leaders just had a long conversation in which I'm sure a lot was said in a pretty frank way. Keep in mind also there's other people in the administration with relationships with Prime Minister Netanyahu, but in the end, I don't think the Israeli government is going to do anything except what they feel is in their national security interest.
Now, let's bring it closer to home, and as it relates to this president. Of course, the Congress, we've had both sides of the aisle weighing in and not liking this deal, and they're threatening to go ahead with further sanctions on Iran. Let's put aside what that means for the treaty. But what does that mean for the president? I mean, he's got the people now not trusting him. He's got, Obamacare out there. Many said this was a distraction. We'll get to Obamacare in a second. Of course, they took over the Senate, the Democrats did. But here you have a president now who, is tanking in the polls, and even his own party in the Senate and the Congress is saying this deal stunk.
Well, any second-term president, two things are true. One is, they struggle to keep their poll numbers up to the extent people perceive them as a lame duck. And the other is they often turn to international relations, national security, to try to get things done because of their diminished influence with the Congress. This president has had an extraordinarily rough political year. John Hyman and I in Double Down make pretty clear part of the reason for that is he didn't run with a very specific second-term agenda. He just ran to annihilate Mitt Romney. And he alienated a lot of people, not just in the Republican Party, but a lot of Democrats in Congress. It's going to be harder and harder for the president to even keep Democrats in line on this deal, on health care, on other things, as the midterms approach, because I think the Democrats don't trust that the president has their political interests, their political future at heart, and that's going to make it tough for him to get things done, even in the...
I'm going to stop right there for just a second. I didn't mean to play the whole thing, but since it came up, I just thought I'd play it since nobody else wants to call me and talk to me right now. But now listen to this. Mark Halperin, he's a political analyst for Time Magazine and MSNBC. And this is what he said. He said that the president did not run on any political agenda. He just ran on annihilating Mitt Romney. And when he was running, they didn't say that then, but now they have the gall that they can say it now. Can you please tell me We allowed anyone to run without an agenda. We just allowed him to run to be who he is. You got to just take some time. I just want to stop there. I'll go back and play some more of it, but I want you to just think about what he just said.
Foreign policy realm in areas like this, where Democrats and Republicans feel so strongly about the issue of Israel and Iran, and where they do have some tools at their disposal, such as passing additional sanctions.
We're talking to Mark Halperin, senior political analyst for Time Magazine and for MSNBC here on the Steve Malzberg Show. Of course, he is the author of Double Down, Game Change 2012, bestseller, along with John Homan, who we referred to there. Let me ask you this. Did the media know, do you think, did you know that President Obama was lying through his teeth for 3 years when he said, if you like it, you could keep it?
I group myself into the statement I'm about to make. I think it's clear that at the time of the passage of the Affordable Care Act and in the context of the presidential campaign, the press did nothing like an adequate job in fly-specking and scrutinizing the whole law, not just the provisions that have already become controversial and about which the president was misleading in the context of a campaign and governance, but other aspects of the law to come. And I would hope that as we chronicle what's going on now with the political controversy over the law and scrutiny of the president's past statements on some issues, that we all learn the lesson from that and recognize any government program, but certainly one of this size and this grandeur, is incumbent upon the press to do a lot of scrutiny so the public can make an informed decision. Part of the issue, I've said this elsewhere and received some criticism about it, part of the issue was Governor Romney didn't make health care a big issue in the campaign because he had his own political problems. And so often in the context of a campaign, what gets scrutinized is what one side or the other puts forward. But there's no doubt that even without Romney putting health care front and center.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Now listen to this. How can you, as a person of the media, come out and say that in your own words, that because Mitt Romney didn't put it apart and didn't make health care a part of the agenda, then it wasn't for you guys to actually cover it as the media? But the media didn't scrutinize it as it should have or as it could have. Does that make any sense? If I'm blowing smoke and if that doesn't sound right, y'all let me know. But what I don't understand is how in the world could we allow all this stuff to pass by and then all of a sudden get an aha moment?
Press should have done a much better job, and that would have been in the president's interest, really, and in liberals' interest, because a law that has no scrutiny in real time is not going to get corrected, and now they're dealing with the scrutiny that's coming belatedly, and it's really setting back their attempts to make the law a practical reality.
But I don't get it because, I mean, you know, with all due respect to you and the rest of the press, and I admire you for putting yourself in that mix, I think the last question I asked you in the last interview had to do with Obama's admitted drug use, and you said something to the effect if McCain had made an issue of it, the press would have gone along. I mean, I you can't convince me that he did drugs when he was in the reserve and he was AWOL. I mean, all these things that they dig, and here you had a law that not one Republican voted for, and the media didn't think it necessary to find out what the heck was in it, and I just don't get that. It you can't tell me it's not because Obama was a Democrat and possibly on top of it an African-American Democrat. Did that play a role?
Well, I've been outspoken for my career in saying that there's liberal bias in the media, and it's a big problem, and it remains a big problem. So I certainly think that played a role in some of the things you're talking about. I thought the coverage the president got in 2008 was the most favorable coverage of any presidential candidate I've ever covered, and I think his party played a role in that, as well as the historical nature of his election. I will say, though, Steve, that I did not see, nor do I recall, massive amounts of investigative reporting by conservative news organizations about the provisions in the law that are now controversial. There was rhetorical questioning of the some of the provisions, including the ones that have become controversial, but they were mostly cast as bad policy and some skepticism that they would work well. But I think there's enough conservative news outlets now that I think it is not right to exempt conservative news organizations or news organizations that are perceived to be conservative or as watchdogs of a Democratic administration. I didn't see a lot of work by those groups in addition for many of the same reasons, not about bias, but simply about resources and judgment about what was important.
All right. Well, I mean, I think a lot of people said that, you know, you weren't going to be able to keep your health care. But also, you know, I think they focused on the death panels, which will be coming. Call them what you will. Rationing is part of it.
I agree. Huge. It can be a huge issue. And that's something else about which the president was not fully forthcoming and straightforward.
All right, so you believe that there will be rationing, a.k.a. death panels?
It's built into the plan. It's not like a guess or like a judgment. That's going to be part of how costs are controlled.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I'll say something else about that issue, which is we do need to do some of that in this country because we can't afford to spend so much on end of life care. A very high percentage of our healthcare spending is for a very small number of people at the last stages of their life. I'm not saying the system shouldn't allow that, but there's too much cost there. Judgments have to be made. We have to decide.
Made by who, Mark? Mark, made by who? The government?
By individuals.
But it's not going to be made by individuals. If you say it's included in the healthcare.
It's not now. For many people who have insurance, their insurance companies make those decisions.
But it's very rare that they. In other words, if someone needs a bypass, the insurance company doesn't say put him in a hospice or give him a pill like Tom Daschle told me that he would do.
Sometimes people run up against the caps and costs with their insurance that make it impractical to get certain kind of coverage. But don't draw me into a false argument here about what I'm saying. All I'm saying is, as a society, we need to have this discussion in an honest and straightforward way because we can't afford everything, every instance that people would like to have.
And has the president been forthcoming that we need to have that argument?
He was not, and Democrats were not when the law passed. But I'll say again, there should have been more scrutiny by all the press, including the conservative press, of the specifics of this. I'm not saying there was none, but there's going to be a lot of journalism done across the board on this issue coming up, just as there has been now on the issue of whether people with individual plans could keep them. There's going to be a lot of scrutiny. We should start now. It should have started a while ago, but it needs to start now in a serious and substantive way with investigative reporting and explanatory journalism rather than waiting until the crisis is upon us, because the law is the law, and we're going to have a discussion as a country about what kind of health care we can afford, particularly at the end of life when a lot of expensive medicine is often done. That as a society we'll have to decide, do we really want to spend that money?
Hey, I'm going to take a break on that. I just want to hold you right there. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Now, I want you to know, this guy, I watch him on an ongoing basis. He is a political analyst for MSNBC and Time Magazine. And they coordinated the president way before he should have been coordinated. He's not supposed to be coordinated by the press. They're supposed to report what's going on. Now that they have him in and he's there, things have changed. We've got this nuclear option. Stuff is crazy. And all of a sudden now, we come up with this epiphany that when Sarah Palin talked about death panels, they shot her like she was crazy. You're talking about, you know, there are more things in this kind of law that you can't afford to take care of old people when they get too sick, and now the government's going to have to take care of them, make a decision on whether they're going to live or die or get treatment. And all of a sudden, this stuff is coming out, and if you want to keep your health care, you can keep it. And we found out that's not true either. I'll be right back.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print. signed by the artist, and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I was playing a clip with Mark Halpern, and he was being interviewed with Newsmax. And he was talking about how conservatives ought to cover more conservative media outlets should have covered this president more and better. In South Carolina, I see you on the phone. Thanks for calling in. Hey, South. Do we remember,
going.
This conversation? Because, you know, you were with me when this all happened. I know you were with me. Everybody wasn't with me. You remember that? Do you remember any of this? Or am I having a hallucination? Am I hallucinating?
No, you're not hallucinating. It was dead on. This is dead on. I mean, you know, they ran away from it when, you know, Sarah Palin said, and everybody thought she was crazy, but then it seems like old girl ain't as stupid as everybody thought she was.
I mean, I ain't a Sarah Palin fan. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, when she was running for office, she was out campaigning, talking about death panels.
Right.
She did say that, right?
Yeah, she said death panels. She coined the term death panels. But common sense tells you when you've got a pool of people and you got on the high end, the older people, you know, costing you more money, you know, something's going to have to give in order for you to, you know, maintain sovereignty, you know? So, hey, so grandma needs a new hip costs $12,000. Well, grandma ain't got about 4 or 5 more years to live, so we just let grandma die. You know?
So the question is, who's going to make that decision for us?
And, yeah, well, that's the thing.
And he's a writer for Time Magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what happened.
Why didn't he mention it then?
Well, he didn't feel like he wasn't going to get slapped. Now he's not going to get slapped, so it's all good. The cat's out of the bag now. You know, you can't put it back in. The cat's out of the bag, and now you can criticize Obamacare without being chastised by your peers.
Are you kidding me?
Listen,
look at what's going on. Maybe you know. I'm watching the headlines, and what is going on with the Affordable Health Care Act and the nuclear option? What in the world is going on? What did I miss? I'm geared up for Thanksgiving. I wasn't geared up for news. And what is going on with that?
Do you know? Well, the nuclear option is kind of, you know, for about 2 days, that was a thing. The nuclear option took the focus off of Obamacare, but now it's back on Obamacare. So, well, give me the, I cannot remember the name, the New Republic says that Obamacare is a threat to liberalism. They had it on the front page that Obamacare and what's happened with Obamacare is a threat to liberalism.
Who said that?
The New Republic.
Who are they?
They are a very, very, very left-leaning publication. Google it.
No.
Yes, it is.
No. That's some crazy stuff.
When the New Republic, when the New Republic says something about Obama like that, yeah, he's in deep dookie.
I don't think he is.
No?
Dookie, no. They got his back.
they may have his back, but the rest of the country is going to just tell him bye-bye, I think. I think he's done as far as his legacy. He will not get anything else done.
Well, this morning they were trying to say, you know, Ronald Reagan had a little slump in his second term also.
Ronald Reagan had a slump in his second term? Okay, this is not a slump. This is a ditch, a chasm. He's not going
to. So you don't think they're going to let him dig his way out of this?
He's not going to dig his way out of it. Because, you know, hey, it's like when they see blood and when they smell blood and when they know there's a story there and they know that they've screwed up and the rest of America is starting to look, hey, they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to do something. Or else they will lose all credibility. You know, the ship is going down and they got to bail now. They got to. If they don't, well, they're already losing readership. I mean, look at MSNBC. Who watches this anymore? You know, they got to go sensational. They got to do all this crazy stuff in order to, you know, bring attention to themselves.
I'm just saying. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it doesn't make sense. But
it doesn't make sense to me. And people are going down with the ship like these guys are going to stay on the ship until the end. You know, the captain usually stays on the ship to make sure everybody else gets off. And we're going to watch these people jump off the ship.
Yeah, but the thing about it, though, I mean, how can you be so stupid?
Now you sound like Jeff. What's up with that?
Because it's, the facts are there. It can only be stupidity. That's the only thing you can attribute it to. You know, they're either they're stupid or insane ones.
They're insane. Because you know what insanity is doing things,
same thing over and over again
and expecting
different
results.
Right. So they got to be crazy. Got to be.
Did you see what the president got heckled yesterday?
Now, I want to know that he get arrested because it's illegal to do that, you know.
It is?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, it's illegal to do that.
You can't heckle the president.
Why can't I heckle the president?
Because it's illegal.
By who? Why is it illegal? It's free speech.
No, you can't do that. That's illegal. No.
You are mistaken.
Hold on.
I'm
serious. You cannot heckle the president because it's something about this being a threat to him.
He let him go.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
440, your mic is on.
Yeah, the other gentleman that was saying that people are just plain stupid. I was at a baptismal party on Sunday, and there had been roughly 25 people. Four of them staunch Obama supporters. These are college educated people, mind you. All right? But the whole thing is that they're not stupid. They don't want to be wrong. They don't want to be wrong. They made more excuses for this guy for the Obamacare, everything. They don't want to admit they were wrong, especially when I told them from 2008 on, a Marxist, socialist, maybe communist guy. And they just, it just burns them up every time I bring it up. I said, I told you this is what you got. But, yeah, they just don't want to admit they were wrong. That's all it is.
So they're that proud, you think?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one is so snotty, so arrogant. You just want to grab him by the doggone throat. Seriously. Oh, yeah. They can't admit they're wrong. And you know what? That's a lot of the people, too. They cannot admit that they made a wrong choice.
Why did they vote for him twice? They'll much rather
go down with the ship than admit they're wrong.
But why did they come back? I mean, I was just in the clip that I played earlier, Mark Halperin said President Obama did not run in the second term on anything. On the first term, he really didn't say much but hope and change. But in the second term, all he did was demonize his candidate or his competitor, but he definitely did not say anything that was going to take you into the future of what he was planning on doing.
No one
vetted him. He didn't even
have
a hope and changing
sure.
moment.
No one vetted him. No one looked into his background. But the first tip to me was when he had all his records sealed, I said, this guy has got something to hide. When somebody does that, I don't care who it is. I don't care if he's black, purple, green, whatever. Anybody that does that, they have something to hide. And we still don't know much about the guy. Right away, that made me want to investigate as much as I could. Found out a lot of things. I tried to tell people, and they looked at me like I was some kind of weirdo. So maybe I am. I don't know. But everything came true to what I thought it was going to be. So, yeah, I'm sorry. There's a lot of people out there who just don't want to admit they're wrong. And, you know, and no matter what their from any walk of life, whoever voted for him does not want to admit this man has sold them a bill of goods. That's all there is to it.
But tell me, let me ask this. But what goes into this? I mean, look at our foreign policy right now, and I see no outcry. Look at the IRS, and you haven't. When's the last time you heard IRS in the news?
Yeah.
When's the last time you heard Benghazi in the news?
He. You know what? When he gets in trouble, and I noticed this the whole time he's been in. Whenever he gets in trouble, it's like, okay, let's look over here at this. You know what I mean? He tries. He has his people looking. Making you look at that's why he's brought up the doggone the immigration. They want you to look at immigration. They don't want you concentrating on Obamacare or IRS or Benghazi. I mean, these are all things that should be addressed. But you know, he goes from one to the other. You know, he tries to take your mind off of it. These problems are not going away. Benghazi is going to be. Hillary won't make it in just because of that.
Do you really think that? I think you're wrong. And let me say, I'm not going to say she's going to get in. But what I'm saying is, I think the American timeline or thought process is too short. They're going to forget. Look what they did to the President Obama. How do you go from? I mean, look how he got in.
Exactly.
Alabama.
Nobody's paying attention. Nobody's paying attention.
I think they forget. I mean, they now vote on emotionalism. They vote on, you know, how people look. It's the first woman. It's a great. It makes history. We do this. We knew that. But as far as them voting because it's a good thing, come on.
Oh, by the way, did you see who they gave medals of freedom to?
Yeah.
I didn't see any
I didn't see anybody there that actually did something. I'm talking about everyday people that just, they do so much for other people. The real heroes. There's real heroes out there. But they just, Oprah, really? What have you done? All you did was back this president. There's things that people do in this country that are just remarkable that nobody recognizes.
Oprah did a lot.
I don't know. For what she has, she does very little. That's my opinion.
No, come on. Look, she gives away cars. She gives away trips to Australia.
You know what? She gives away
cars.
She does
my favorite thing.
She would be better served if she took that money and fed people that really need to be fed, people that need assistance. Don't worry about giving nobody a car. Feed somebody. There's a couple of kids out there probably starving to death. Don't worry about giving anybody a car. She does that for show. She does that so she can get a pat on the back. Do something, but do it under the radar.
Tracy, just to kind of look at, and you have to excuse the noise, I'm actually at lunch, but I feel like with Oprah, it's one of those situations where I don't want a car or I don't want you to feed. I'd rather you find me some money to start a business or do something along those lines where I can really sustain myself. That's why I don't really look up to guys like Jay-Z, or I look up to Don King before I look up to him, because these guys aren't really multiplying and pouring out into other people's lives. They're just being worshipped by the masses for no apparent reason. And I don't even think Jay-Z's worth what they say he really is, because I can't find where he's really worth. Nobody's going to give him $300 million, $200 million for Rockaware clothes right now, because it's not selling. So it's just not what it used to be. So that's what I'm saying. So I think we're forced, these people are pushed out in front of us, and we're told to worship them like a Beyonce, Jay-Z, Oprah. When these people aren't really, honestly, I think they're at bay, and if they really go out and help people, I think it'll really be some problems in the background with them. So,
you know what? And
I don't look
up
to these people.
Same thing goes for Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and the rest of them. You only hear, you know, they give something, and they want to be recognized for it. Just do it. Just do it. Help people. You know,
just help
don't give somebody a car and then expect a big pat on the back and applause. And yeah, I don't want to go there with that.
I think there's a difference in the black people that have that. I think they have a different responsibility. If I get my hands on $600-700 million or $2 million like Oprah, there would be certain things that would change. And I would try to create a business. You don't really need the bank per se once you get to that level. But if you don't make those changes, you're not doing that. Because the average business has started with less than $5,000. So I don't want to hear a lot of these people. They worship these celebrities. These people are just, they walking around with $10,000, you know, meals and doing some stupid stuff that I don't even feel like is necessary. So I don't worship celebrities. I think they just benefited from their situation. And
I don't either. I look up to
a guy that's self-made billionaire that did businesses, started from scratch and worked his way up. Those are the people I really pay attention to and look at their life story. A rapper that used to sell drugs that some white Jews conglomerates decided, hey, let's make him our front guy. It's not somebody I look up to. That's Jay-Z.
But Jay-Z gets his money up front. Go ahead, Jeff.
They still selling drugs, half of them.
Jeff.
That's why you think you still have Tupac in them and Biggie in them, still getting shot up after a certain time. It wasn't for no reason.
But Jeff, I'm asking you a question though. How is Jay-Z worth $500 million? Like, where is his where? Like, his clubs aren't doing that. He shut down a couple of clubs. Rockaware clothes aren't selling. He's not. His album isn't selling. His albums are not selling. He's representing athletes, but he's getting 10% to 15% of that. So where is this half a billion dollars net worth?
Because he gets paid up front by companies. in their contract yes. whether he produces and sells clothes or not. Because remember, these guys aren't manufacturing clothes. What they're doing is they're putting their names on a label. And they sell the label in, and they say that's cool and that's not cool. But it's outside of that, they get paid to just walk around in a suit with their name on it.
Jay-Z owns himself pretty much, and that was one of the things. He made one of the first deals where he created his own genre a certain way. He owns himself. He's smart now, so you can't take away from that.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying, is he worth $500 million right now? Who is going to give him, like, if he had to sell, because this is estimated net worth. Like, if you go to someone and tell them that you want to buy Rock-A-Wear clothes right now, nobody's going to give him what it's valued at. Nobody's going to give you $250 million for Rock-A-Wear clothes.
Alabama, he gets paid up front. He gets paid to use the name, so no matter whether you sell it or don't get it out or whether it goes.
Oh, I understand. Every year when he does this list, they tell me he's making $20-30 million a year, whatever. So, okay, fine. I'll give you that. Let's say he's making that. I'm talking about the $500 million net worth that they're talking about.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't see it.
Listen to what I'm saying. Alabama, you're not listening. His contract layered on top of each other. He gets paid for his imaging. So whether you buy his clothes or don't buy his clothes, he gets paid, and he doesn't have a middleman. He's got a vodka, but he's only visited the vodka plant.
I think we're missing each other, Tracy. I'm not saying that he doesn't get paid. Okay, he gets paid fine. I'm telling you, where is the $500 million there? I'm not saying that the guy doesn't make money. But
No.
If he's worth $120 million. Instead of $500 million, it can still be the same as what you're saying. So I'm not disagreeing with you.
But he's labeled as a commodity, not as a person. So it's not cash in hand; it's cash in value.
I know he ain't got that money liquid in the bank. What I'm saying is, I doubt his net worth. I think Jay-Z has made this is the point I'm trying to make. He's made a living off of portraying himself as being wealthy and a smart, savvy. That's his reputation. So, but if you look at the track record, it's not always like that. Like, that's just the bottom line. So, I'm not going to get into his history of him and Dame Dash and how that all came down. But I don't look at this guy like, I just don't look up to him like how most black kids. I'd rather you look up to somebody in the local community that runs a business that's successful than a guy like that. I just don't look up to him. That's all. And I think we don't really know what this guy's worth as far as what he's really worth and what he calls and let Forbes portray him as. What Forbes tells you, you all take that with a grain of salt.
Well, I tell you what, I totally agree with Forbes because this is what Forbes does. That's what they do.
Well, hold on, Jeff. Forbes told us that the richest guy in the world was a couple of big. Come to find out, Gaddafi was worth $300 billion. Gaddafi worth six, seven times richer than the guy we ever knew, and he's just a dictator. So we don't know really what Forbes is. So let's not just act like Forbes cares a lot of weight now.
We know that there's people that are off the grid that don't show how wealthy they are.
This is South Carolina. Guess where I'm at.
Oh, maybe my phone messed up.
South Carolina, where are you?
Here, I'll let him tell you where I'm at.
This is not that show with all those black people he listens to, is it?
No.
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Oh, hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. How can you hear us?
Yes. Hi, this is Lisa from California. Good to hear you guys.
What are you and South Carolina doing together? Do we need to send out Jeff, what's up?
I don't know what happened there.
What's going on, South Carolina and Lisa?
Hey,
Lisa's
doing
good.
Lisa's
not with South Carolina.
No,
you're trying to get me in trouble?
Where is Lisa?
Don't get me in trouble,
Sal. They think Lisa, because Lisa stepped on what I was saying.
Yeah, okay.
No, I just wanted to comment on Oprah. Yeah. You know how people say, what has she done? Can anybody name a white woman who was a self-made billionaire?
Martha Stewart.
Thank you very much.
No, what I'm trying to say is Oprah, she already had it hard in the beginning. How many women can actually say they are a self-made billionaire? Martha Stewart, she already had it easy in the beginning. I mean,
No. What are you talking about?
J.K. Rowling, the writer of Harry Potter.
Listen to me. Listen to me. She would go house to house selling her wares and things of that nature. That is something Oprah could not do. It's all about appearance and the way people perceive you.
Well, Martha Stewart, J.K. Rowling, that wrote Harry Potter, there's women out there that are billionaires.
No. But what I'm trying to say is, out of these three women, who do you think had it the hardest? It's not easy to be a billionaire. I mean, come on. Oprah had a hard time being a newscaster because of the color of her skin and her weight, and they didn't think she was attractive enough.
Absolutely.
And she surpassed all of that. And she's given people jobs. And I know she had said a long time ago she's sick and tired of people dictating to her what she should do with her money.
This is not what she did with her money. This is about her getting the Congressional Medal of Freedom.
She was talking about she was sick of white people telling her what she should do with her money.
And what I'm saying is, this is not about what she does with her money. This is about when she has it. Look at what she's done with it. And actually,
I don't care. I don't care if she takes money and throws it out the window.
But the question is,
we complain.
No.
Don't do this and that. And then if they do it, they don't do enough. It's like a lose-lose situation.
No, but what the conversation began was not with what, you know, a person, you know, I'm all about freedom. So you can do whatever you want with your money when you want to do it. That's okay with me. But my question is, what happens when you have your money and you get a Congressional Medal of Freedom? What did you do to earn it? I'll be right back. I'm going to leave the mics open.
Hello?
Yeah, I mean, come on, the Medal of Freedom. I mean, why not give it to her? Hell, they just gave it to a baseball player, right?
Breaking up.
Oh, can you hear me? Hello?
I am here now, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Didn't they just give a Medal of Freedom to Loretta Lynn?
All right, Mike.
Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Hello. Hey. What happened to Lisa?
Oh, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, what I was going to say is, didn't they just give the Medal of Freedom to Loretta Lynn?
I didn't see Loretta Lynn get it. But,
yeah, she did. I mean, I like her, but you could also say, what has she done? I think Oprah's done more, correct?
Well, they gave them to all progressives this last time out that I can see.
I don't know. What's that older baseball player? I don't know if he's progressive or not. It was Ernie. I think Ernie Banks. I believe, was his name.
Yeah, I'd have to see it again.
Because I know he retired back, I believe, in 1971. So he's an older gentleman. I don't know his politics, so I can't speak on him. But as far as what Oprah's done, I mean, come on, what has Loretta Lynn done? I think Oprah deserves the Medal of Freedom way more than Loretta Lynn. I mean, come on, Oprah's putting thousands of people to work.
I don't know why Loretta Lynn got the Medal of Freedom anyway.
I mean, I respect her work, of course, you know, but...
Well, I mean,
you know,
but that's, What does she do? What charities is she part of? That's going to be the question.
Yeah. I guess my thing is, as far as Oprah's concerned, there's so many other people we can talk about.
The thing that confuses me is I was saying I don't look up to Jay-Z.
I didn't say dog the man out. I just said I don't look up to him. I think most kids in the black community, he's the only role model. A lot of kids, when you talk business,
well, you know
Jay-Z,
what, though?
That's it.
I'm going to have to kind of disagree with you, Alabama, because I have a daughter in college, and she respects Jay-Z's business sense. And she respects P. Diddy's business sense. And she thinks, you know, and whenever she has a hard day, you know, she's like, she thinks of P. Diddy, businessman. Because one day he said he never sleeps. He doesn't get a lot of sleep because he feels if he sleeps a lot, someone else is already working on something else.
I mean, there's no way I would try to come in and decide who someone should look up to because it depends. I mean, you got people that look up to Nick. Hold on, let me finish. You got people that look up to Nicki Minaj. I don't think they should, but they do. And they can find reasons why they look up to her. So I'm not going to get into that. That's not a good argument.
No. What I'm trying to know, the argument I'm trying to make is everybody always says, well, look to the community to look up to somebody. Well, hell, a lot of communities, there is no one to look up to. That's why they look up to someone like a Jay-Z.
One of the things you have to do in business, if you really want to be in business, you got to find people. You got to look for people, and it may not be someone in your realm of influence, but you can read about and look and find people like that. And when I get into when I start looking at business and what it takes to be successful, I see thousands of examples, be it white, black, whatever, that are better than Jay-Z. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, no, I understand that, but see, those kids can relate better to a Jay-Z than a Steve Jobs.
That's my point. It's just like the rappers come from the hood. That's all I rap about is drugs and sex, but that's all I see.
No,
I'm tired of hearing that. That's all everybody talk about.
No, what I'm trying to say is, like, some people can relate to Oprah more than Martha Stewart.
Why is that?
Programming.
I want to hear why more people can think, because both of them probably more closely related than we know.
No. There's a lot of
Jeff,
people.
Can you hear me?
Like Oprah. Hello?
Yeah, we hear you.
No, there's a lot of people that grew up like Oprah more so than Martha Stewart.
But she is so far removed from being that little poor girl that grew up in that tough situation.
It doesn't. Well, man, you can't say so far removed because she's still black. So she's not that far removed. People think just because you have money, all of a sudden racism goes
away. So she has more. No. So she has more in common with somebody because of the color of her skin than we don't know her.
No, I said her background. I didn't say anything about anything like that. I'm talking about her background. Just like a lot of kids can relate to Jay-Z's background versus Steve Jobs' background or Bill Gates.
I disagree. I'm going to tell you. Hold. I disagree. Most people did not sell drugs. That's a myth. I'm sick of it. That's the problem I have with it.
I did not say that. You're not under.
Most people, when they talk about Jay-Z, they say, well, we can relate to Jay. Jay sold drugs. Most black kids don't sell drugs.
I did not say you're missing my point.
You know what?
I'm back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends, KMWSOM, AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 6 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Here on WSOM, AM 600. And the number is 347-945-5229. Want you to call in and have conversation with them. It is open mic today. We'll go where you want to go. South Carolina and Alabama. They're all in the chat room. Lisa from California is out there. And Lisa, a man is in community that they choose with their money. I don't have a problem with it. But what has happened in the last couple of weeks is Oprah Winfrey and Loretta Lynn and some other people got presidential medals of honor. Or honor freedom. So I get the right term. It is called the
a Presidential Medal of Freedom recipient. And someone brought up, well, what has she done?
And yeah.
I tell you what, though, Tracy. You know,
what?
when she made that comment on British TV, she exposed herself as an angry black woman.
And
that
I'm
just
so
shows.
Sick of that term. Oh my God.
Well, it's the truth.
No, it's
she
not the truth.
Herself.
How are you going to bring race? And you know what? They did the same thing with Naomi Campbell.
It's all
she
angry,
was being interviewed.
Angry black woman
No. Naomi Campbell was being interviewed, and then she got emotional about modeling, and then the interviewer called her an angry black woman. I'm really getting tired of that term.
Well, it may be getting tired of it, but it's the truth.
And why? And you know what? And why are we angry? Maybe it's because of the men that we deal with.
Because
how's
they're
that?
Not. Because.
How's
because
that? Maybe
they
because
are not
you need
men.
To step up to the plate. Maybe you need
I've
to step
up to the plate.
No,
I've already stepped
honey.
Up to the plate.
Maybe that's why
I got
there's so
four
much
very
anger.
Successful daughters by man. I mean, so.
And that's another problem, too. You're not concerned about everybody else. Everybody's always this individualist. There's
it's
another world out there, honey.
Listen.
I'm getting tired
you
of
have,
black men talking about
no,
angry. Maybe black men
no
need to start
idea.
Being angry. How's that?
Listen.
Maybe you wouldn't get killed on people's doorstep.
Here's, hold on.
Wait a minute. Listen, guys.
When you've got a man trying to be a man and an angry woman, all she wants to do is suppress it, is it his fault
okay,
or is it her
and
fault?
And the color of her skin is always black, right?
No, I'm referring to black women because that's who I live around and that's who I am around.
Well, you need to get
and
out
that's who
more
I'm
often.
Concerned
maybe
with.
Maybe that's the problem. You would see a lot of other angry women.
Now, Lisa, I have a question for you. Lisa, hold up.
Yeah.
I got a question for you, honey.
Sure.
Are you trying to tell me that black women are not angry?
No, I'm tired of putting on this label as if there's some kind of stigma. We're angry. We're this. We're that. It seems like society is just kicking us to the ground over and over again. And now, of course, the black men are also having their hand in it. And it's getting ridiculous.
But my question to you is, are you saying that black women are not angry?
I don't see this anger that everybody keeps talking about.
Because I think that we're so angry now.
I don't think so. I'm in my 40s. I do not see any young people angry. I don't see young black women in college angry. I don't know. No, not at all.
Okay, hold on. South Carolina.
We're too busy doing what we need to do.
Hold on, South Carolina. Lisa, hold on. I want to let him get this out. South Carolina, describe to
yes.
me why. Give me the definition or describe to me what an angry black woman is. Or angry white
angry
woman.
Angry black. Huh?
Or either one. Or both.
Well,
but tell me what an angry
got,
black
woman
is. Tell
you,
me the definition
what
of
you,
that.
What you've got is a woman that has been so busy trying to be a man. Okay, it just does not fit. It confuses. It's just diametrically opposed.
But you said angry.
Lisa. Honey, wait a minute. Let him finish. Don't talk on top of him. Go ahead, South Carolina. Finish the statement so I can get her back in.
Therein lies the conflict. When you got two forces in your mind fighting against each other, you're going to have that anger come out. It cannot.
What two
it can't
forces in your mind?
On the way. Huh?
What do you mean? What two forces?
You are a woman. Okay? Your physiology is all female, okay? When you have to do things as a male, it's confusing. It goes against everything that's in you. Okay?
Can I speak? Go ahead, Lisa.
Yes.
First of all, number one, like I said, maybe you guys need to step up to the plate because women from India are not angry because their men step up to the plate. Asian women aren't angry because their men step up to the plate and hold it down. Same thing with Hispanic men. So maybe if you would do what you need to do, you wouldn't have all these angry women walking
hold
around
on, South Carolina.
To take the place of men.
Hold on, South Carolina. Hold on. Now, Lisa, let me ask you this. Whose fault is it that men will not step up?
Well, first of all, they keep blaming society.
My question was, whose fault is it that black men do not step up?
It's a 50-50. It's them and society.
Because let me say this. I learned something. Hold on. I learned something over the weekend. I was out with a young man, and I was moving some stuff. And I just picked up the chair and started moving it. And he was walking with me. And he said to me, you know, it was like, why would you do that and not ask me to do it? And I found out that because we have been alone for so long, we just do things. And so instead of allowing men to actually lead or actually be there. And so
you know why?
I hold on because they're not there. But when you find
no,
a good man.
No, that's not it.
Why?
No, it's not only they're not there. We're afraid because when they take over, look what happens.
No, it wasn't about them taking over. It was about me being.
Oh my
me
God,
being
Tracy, please let me get up. She's just spewing a bunch of toilet. Look, man, look, is this toilet Tuesday?
You need to learn
this
how to
is toilet
your
Tuesday,
community.
Man.
You
hold
need
on,
to learn
hold
how to
on,
protect
Alabama.
Your community and quit letting everybody run through your community. It's embarrassing.
What do you mean?
Whoa, who's patronizing those
here.
Communities? Who's patronizing those businesses?
I live out here in California. There's a lot
Lisa,
of communities. They're not
who patronizing those communities? Who patronizing those
Please.
Businesses? Black women. Who patronizing them? Who patronizing going to all these churches with all these pastors acting a fool? Black women.
Where
black
else,
women.
Oh,
70% of y'all
where
are single
are
for a reason.
Go?
70% of black women, a lot of them got funk attitudes. You can't talk to them. You can't even speak to a lot of black women. Then they want to point to my step up to the plate. Man, but let me tell you something. Name, why is it that you're the only one that's called independent and strong? You never hear another race called independent and strong, but you are. Name me another race that calls themselves. That's the problem.
Hold on, Alabama. Nah. Hold on. Alex was next. Hold up. Alex, go ahead.
Oh, God.
What I think it comes down to is people's choices, and a lot of times women will... I think what it really is when they're angry, they're angry about the choices that they made. I'm gonna give you a prime example of it's a young lady that I know that's friends of ours, my wife and I. She's 24 years old. She's a single mother, okay, and she made a bet. Men will step up to whatever requirements women put on them. And so she already made a bad decision with the first man she's with, and then now she's about to marry another guy who is he's a ex-con felon, he's not doing anything, and so the only thing that's going to happen is later he's going to let her down, and then she's going to be angry and talk and start talking bad about men and all this stuff, but. What about the choices that you're making in your life and bringing certain people, not only allowing them into your personal space, but also, you know, even in your children and things like that. And it has ramifications, but too many black women don't want to take responsibility for the choices that they make, and then they want to get angry about the consequences that happen.
Hold on. 438, your mic is on.
Hello, Tracy. Stanley, how are you?
Where have you been?
Oh, I had a lot of things to resolve and everything.
But you know, no, Stanley. You can send up a smoke signal and call somebody
sorry.
And say you're okay.
I'm okay. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I had some stuff to do.
We thought the IRS came and got you.
No, the IRS didn't come and get me. I have to agree with what Alex is saying. I truly believe, I know many sisters that basically are angry because they made the wrong decision. And I'm sorry to say, I'm going to go back to what she said. The other person said, where's the accountability? It used to be, I don't know if I'm wrong, Tracy, but Dean's sister used to tell other sisters, you're not supposed to do those things, stick up for each other and say things
good,
to other
how
women.
You? Yeah, me too.
Go ahead. Yeah, they did, but you could actually say something. I mean, somebody could come up to you, but now you don't have those kinds of friends.
Exactly. They used to be a standard that they used to be this. Because black women, I'm sorry to say, like one person said, 70% are not getting married. There's more women out of wedlock that are basically having kids. There's overweight. There's a lot of issue that I truly believe that the accountability and the responsibility is not back to them. Like, as a man, I have to be responsible for the action that I choose. I have no choice to do that. But where's the accountability of women? Because I heard one woman said, oh, the guy and this and that. And you asked the perfect question. Is it not, if you're angry as a black woman, go get the help that you need to fix it. It's not me as a man that
I can
always, pay.
I can't fix it. I can't fix it,
Stanley. Yeah.
But it is. I can't fix it. What I'm saying is I can't fix it because they haven't given me a means to fix it. You know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean. What do you mean?
See, if I don't have any, if I don't have a man in my life, and I'm not talking about a man that is that I am, I'm not dating or anything. I'm talking about a paternal dad or a man that I have confidence in, who speaks into my life and helps give me confidence. I will always be frail, and so I won't be engaged enough or and have the esteem enough to actually move forward. So that's why so many women go into relationships broken.
Okay.
And so we go into these relationships broken looking for somebody to fill a void because we've never had affirmation from a man. That's how we get into bad relationships. And then we go out and have boys. And so instead of learning how to appreciate men and utilizing them and helping them and consoling them, what we do is we berate them, we marginalize them, and then we emasculate them because we really don't know what to do with them. And this is not a black thing or a white thing. It's a societal thing.
But and I feel a lot of black men don't stand up for themselves and respect themselves enough and saying to a woman, enough. You're not going to treat them that way.
But they don't know how because they were raised by women. They're raised by women who come out of broken homes.
Yeah, so true.
I've missed you, you little liberal leprechaun. I've missed you.
No, I've listened to your show. You're still doing a great show and everything.
Haven't you heard us call out for you and you could have, like, sent up smoke signals or something and said, hey, I'm alive and well?
I was busy. I had some stuff to resolve and everything, family issue, things like that. That's why.
But I've missed you. You could have called me on my cell phone and said, Tracy, I'm okay.
I'm sorry. I will not ever not do what I did. I'm sorry.
Okay. You're all right then.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But, no, I appreciate you still doing this. But
hey, South Carolina, look who's here. He hung up the phone, too. Lisa.
No, I thought
Lisa.
You
No, Lisa was making too much noise, so I muted her because the background noise is coming from her phone. Alabama, would you agree with what I said?
Yeah, and Stanley, too.
I mean, am I angry? Yes, I'm angry. I'm angry because I'm alone and I shouldn't have to be alone. I deserve to be angry because I'm put into a society that I have to go and see about my car and go see about dinner too, all in the same day, plus pump my gas. So yeah, I'm mad. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know nothing about tires. And everything falls on me. And that's not right. And the reason why men don't step up to the plate is because women raise them and we coddle them and we turn them into wusses.
Hello.
And so instead of us raising young boys to be men.
Tracy, most women can get a man if they learn about the study men, understand the ego, understand, you know, he has an ego, I have to be encouraging. It's refreshing, and I guarantee every single man within the sound of my voice can hear me. It's refreshing to see a woman that doesn't have a funky attitude that's black. It just is. It's like, man, when I meet a black woman that got a nice attitude that's not angry all the time, I actually notice it. That's how accustomed I am.
Hold on,
I expect the attitude from a black woman. I expect her to have an attitude. I expect her to get smart. I expect the neck to swing. I just expect that because that's universal. So if you want a man, go get on the treadmill and then start trying to learn how to encourage and be encouraging and not necessarily look at it like it's belittling.
Whoa,
let me finish.
No, you know what? I am. I'm going to have to agree with you on that treadmill.
You always just want to jump out on people, please.
Why I got to go on the treadmill?
If you, I ain't even saying nothing about you. I wasn't even talking about you.
No, Alabama, I agree with you.
Look, black women are about 45% overweight. Now, let's be 100 now. 45% of them are overweight, and guess what? Thick don't really mean what you think it means. I'm big. No, baby, you're fat. You got heart problems. You're probably not going to live that long. You need to work out.
There's one thing that you're saying being thick and being fat, but the problem is you can't lose the weight if you're continually having kids. Think about that.
But I thought we were having abortions.
We are.
You are.
We're doing both.
So how we keep having I agree with Alabama as far as that treadmill.
Why I got to get on the treadmill to get a man? Why can't he love me for who I am?
Because that's not real, though. That's not real.
That's superficial. That's superficial.
No, that's not superficial.
I want a woman whose mind I can deal with.
Why can't he love me for me?
Yes.
I'm like Heavy D, not because I'm Heavy D.
Yeah, but you have to be attracted to the person.
Then why can't you love me for me?
But your physical shape says a lot about you, Tracy. It says a lot about you. It says a lot about you not being
Hold on, guys. Now, listen, wait a minute. Hold on. Listen to this. And I've got to take a break. I'm going to let you guys talk. I've been thin and I've been thick. And you, the perception that you have of me thin is not the perception that you have of me thick. And it's not pretty when you're thin and people don't take you for who you are. Go ask Halle Berry how she can be as beautiful as she is and have the self-esteem of a frog.
Halle Berry crazy.
Yes, she is. And she deals with crazy guys. So
that chick ain't got no sense.
It's a combination, Tracy.
Yeah.
It's not only you have to look good, but you have to be smart also. She's crazy. I'm sorry. You can be all good.
Look, you can have a woman look good. If a woman look good and look like Kelly Rowland, and I got another woman that's smart and don't look like Kelly, I'm going to probably wind up talking to one that's smart and look like Kelly Rowland. Common sense.
A very beautiful woman, and that is Jill Scott. That is a very pretty woman. She is not in a Kelly Rowland body, but the sister looks good. Okay.
Yeah, but she lost weight, though.
Listen, when she was big, she looked good.
Who?
But not everybody looks good
Jill
like
Scott.
That, though.
Who?
But see here, when you're focusing on the size, you miss the best part of the person.
South Carolina, who are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about Jill Scott, the singer.
She looked good like that. When she done lost weight, she looked good like she is. She done lost weight.
Yeah, that's why I said that she lost some weight. She looked good.
Look, Jennifer Hudson turned into a dime. Jennifer Hudson was
she
not
sure
a dime.
Has.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. What is it being shallow because you want somebody who's healthy? If you are a man keeping yourself in shape, and doing what you need to do. Why is it being shallow? Because you want the same thing.
Oh, hold on. Hey, Stanley, you go to the gym, you work out, Stanley?
Yeah, of course, every day.
Stanley, when you're at the gym, what type of women you see in there? Women, white women, Asian. I hate to say it. That's all lot. Black women don't want to work out. Let me make a point. I think black women, personally, I think black women are the most beautiful in the world. But at the same time, when it comes to working out, They don't want to do it.
Why is no? You know what? Let me tell you something.
Then you got a lot of. Let me tell you something. You got a lot of dusty guys, thugs wearing their pants around their butt. Hey baby, you think? Got no self esteem. Don't want to go. Hey baby, you got a good.
But you know what, guys? But look, I live here in California. There's a lot of guys working out at the gym, but there's no black guys working out at the gym. I hardly like 1%.
Oh, hold
on.
Black men are the most in shape demographic in America.
Oh,
so,
no.
It don't make a difference.
No.
That's the truth.
Oh, God,
that's the
no.
truth. That
oh,
is
no.
the truth.
Uh-uh.
We die.
California.
We may die, but when it comes to body fat and being in shape, bro, we just completely.
please.
Oh, no.
The black guy will have an easier time.
We carry
time
more
to be
pound
shaved.
For pound. We carry more muscle than any other demographic on earth. Black men.
I got to say, it doesn't show.
I
got to
agree with him.
It doesn't show.
Well, yeah, listen, here, Lisa, let me tell you what happened with me, okay? I went into the Marine Corps weighing 203 pounds, all right? I had a 34-inch waist and a 17-inch neck. I came out of boot camp weighing 203 pounds, but I had a 32-inch waist and a 19-inch neck, okay? Throughout my whole career, I had to fight against what's called personal appearance because they were looking at what was on paper, all right? My body, because I have so much muscle mass, was heavier and denser, so it made it look like I was overweight for my height.
No, but what I'm trying to
say is
that's
what happens with a lot of black guys.
No, yeah, and what I'm trying to say is whenever I go hiking to the beach, you know, it's always you see the white guys doing more outdoor things versus the black guys.
Look, that's your anecdotal situation. I'm telling you the stats, man. Black men are in shape more than anybody.
I don't go by stats because, you know.
You're going by the eye test. You can go by your own personal eye test. That's
what
you experience, and that's cool.
Yeah,
but I tell you what, there's way more brothers in shape than women.
Well, brothers are a lot more in shape than black women. I'm sorry. When you said the 45% overweight, that's a fact. 45% of women, black women are overweight.
Men in general are more in shape. I mean, so this is all this black stuff is ridiculous.
It's not just that, but black women are the most obese. Y'all are more obese than anybody else.
Why is that?
45%?
Because you want to know why it is? It's because when black women have babies at the rate that they're having them, when they have babies at the rate that they're having them, they don't have time to go to the gym. They don't have time. Their bodies do not adjust as fast as men do.
And then another problem, they'll go to the gym and get on a treadmill and think they're going to be okay. No, you go to the treadmill, you're going to lose weight, but you ain't got no muscle, so you can't keep the weight off.
And I'm sorry to say, there's some women that basically as soon as they have the baby, they tell the guy basically, I got you. So I don't need to work out. I don't need to do anything to keep you.
Yeah,
and they have
in the black community, you got a lot of guys with low self-esteem that want women big, fat. Oh, she thick,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
Look at them thighs. Look at that butt.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that butt. Look at her. Like, yeah, but look at the gut. The stomach bigger than the butt.
Exactly.
Like,
that's thirsty.
That she ain't pregnant.
Thirsty brothers,
God.
Man. It's so true.
Exactly.
I'm going to tell you what I'm
thirsty,
man.
I'm being fair.
We're not thirsty. No, we're
the only ones that like Kim Kardashian.
Listen. I am 49 years old, and what I liked when I was 20 is definitely not what I like now at 49.
South Carolina, you're different than you different, South Carolina. You're different.
Yeah.
You don't care about looks like that. I'm sorry. I want a dime, South Carolina. I'm sorry. I mean,
I know
I'm the one got to look at.
I feel the same way because I'm sorry. I know exactly how you feel because I have to be attracted. I'm sorry.
You're doing right. I want Kim Kardashian. You got me.
Yeah, because your body tells. I'm sorry. It's so stupid when I hear the comment say, "Oh, you're being shallow for your body." Your body tells a lot. That's the only body you got.
Hey Stanley. They being shallow when they talking about the body. We being shallow, but when it comes to money, they ain't being shallow.
They being
realistic.
They're being realistic. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, baby, I make 60. No, I need a man make 80. You make 60,000. I can't talk to you. You got to make at least 85.
In this economy,
please.
Honey, I said California tax rate is 9.75%.
I'm gonna tell you like this. Down here, if you live in South Carolina, and you're making $50,000 a year. You're doing real good.
See, out here in California, that's just average.
In New York, you can't live with that salary.
You can't live on $50,000 in New York.
$3,000
apartment?
No.
That's crazy.
That's worse than California.
Oh, yeah.
They're
going to
look at you and see you're bottom poor. You can't live
by
the IT jobs pay an extra $30,000 than California. They're paying $30,000, $40,000 more on average out there in California.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, if you get a house in the hood, you're still paying over $300,000.
Lisa, I lived in Vista, California, back in 1988. Had a two bedroom apartment, and I was paying $1,500.
Wow.
For rent. That was back in '88.
And here in New York, I'm telling you, they do crazy things. I'm telling you, you have to keep the money for 6 months to get a place.
Wow.
Oh, you want a place? You got to give us 6 months in advance or 5 months in advance.
Are you serious?
Oh my God.
Yeah, they're crazy. 6 months in advance.
That is crazy.
Crazy credit check and this and that. I'm like, fuck.
Wow. Well, you guys, I got to go. I got to go back to work.
Hey, Lisa, it was nice talking to you. We appreciate you. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, and Stanley, good to hear Stanley. I was like, where have you been? I've heard him on other shows. So, see you, Alabama, South Carolina.
All right, now.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, listen, I'm back. South Carolina.
Listen, we got some shallow people on the show with us.
Oh, boy.
What do you mean?
Lisa, Alabama, and Stanley. They got to have them something looking good on their arm, or else they're not going to talk to you.
Alabama, you're not like that, are you?
Boy. It's not that, Tracy. You can have somebody good in your arm and everything, but what do you say? What happens if you tell the truth to that person and being really considerate?
But the question
some
is, do you want me for me, or do you want me? I mean, seriously, and there's nothing as frustrating as being.
Yes,
being
maybe
very,
I do
very...
want you for you. Maybe I do want you for you, but let's say as a man, I'm concerned of your health. Is it
that
in
my health?
I'm telling you, look,
I'm healthy as a horse, and I look like one too. So the question is, do you really love me for me, or do you love me because of how I look? Because the question is, if you love me for me, then if I should get sick for whatever cause, you should love me no matter what. And what makes me infuriated, men for some reason can become so shallow, and when you change your physique, whether it be because of sickness, because of children, then they change too, and they start looking other places, and it's really damaging on women. And so my depression and my frustration causes me to eat more instead of you working out with me and being there for me. You dog me out, and now we have a problem.
Yep. But.
And that's just real talk.
So you're saying you're mad because you feel as men that we should stay with you no matter what, and we shouldn't look at anything else and stay with you and not want something better?
I'm saying I should be the best that you should ever get, because you got to love me for me.
Okay.
You love me for my
family.
What happens if I get in a car accident and I'm a paraplegic? That means you're going to leave me.
And that's a good question. A lot of guys, being honest, would leave. I'm sorry to say, Tracy, a lot of guys would leave.
But isn't that a problem?
It is a problem. Some people would leave. Some people would stay. That's a good question to ask.
But isn't that a problem?
Yes, it is. I agree with you.
Aren't you supposed to, through sickness and through health and all that kind of stuff, but what happens when you lose your hair? I married a man and he has a full head of hair, and I look up one day and it's all on the floor. Am I supposed to stay with him? But I like a man with hair.
So you're supposed to fuss at him. After
you're right.
Fussing the floor.
Yeah,
that too.
The floor dirty.
Your hair, we can't change anything, but your health, you could always change a body.
But what I'm saying, Stanley, sometimes with your physique of your health, you can't change either. I mean, no matter how hard you try.
I would disagree with that, Tracy. There's been many people that said they couldn't change, but when it's motivated by the right kind of trainer, the right kind of nutrition and everything. I saw many women who were overweight, and we said, impossible. And just because they had the dedication to do what they needed to do and the right training, the right food, they lost what they needed to lose.
And listen, guys,
I got an example.
Wait a minute, I got a guest on the line. Susan, and she's an old friend of mine. Her name is Suzanne Wilcox. And she's gonna talk to us about Obamacare. So let's let her slide in really quick. Hi, how are you? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, Tracy. How are you?
Good. I haven't talked to you for years. Wow.
I know, and it's like really funny because I was listening to the feedback. I'm like, that's Tracy's voice. I'd know it anywhere.
How have you been?
I've been terrific. And listening to that conversation, I was kind of cracking up because, one of my second businesses, I promote.
Go ahead and promote it.
I laugh because I do the Body Bye-Bye Challenge, and I've lost 70 pounds and 36 inches. And so and I sit here and I'm listening to this, and I'm like, mm-hmm, Halsam, and you guys got to get, the conversation was making me crack up because I was like, yes, you have to want it bad enough to do it for yourself, and when you want it bad enough, you'll stop making excuses and you'll start getting results.
Oh, listen to you. Jeez, old man. So you mean to tell me everybody can lose weight?
Yeah.
Everybody can lose weight, and it's just you got to make up your mind that you're sick and tired and enough is enough, and you can do it because right now in America, 7,800 people a day die from obesity-related causes. And when you look at that, you think, wow, that is so simple and so preventable. And when I look at everything that's going on, as we call it, Obama don't care in our household. I know people that are on so many drugs and medications that are just going to have such a hard time with this because their premiums and that are going up. And they said, well, I was uninsurable before. Now I'm insurable, but you're going to pay for it. So now is the time to get healthy to help yourself out down the road here.
Yeah,
it really is. It really is. Now I'm Suzanne Wilcox is it's a childhood friend of mine. We went to school together, and I won't say what instrument she played in band. But we've known each other a good number of years, and she was on Fox News not too long ago talking about her process of trying to get on to the Affordable Health Care Act. And you're a veterinarian, am I correct, Suzanne?
That is correct.
And just to plug her business, she does spayed and neutering down in Girard right off of 80 or 11? 80.
80, yeah, we're right on 422, right next to the Jib Jab Hot Dog Shop.
Why don't you give the information out on people getting their dogs spayed and neutered, because that's important, too. We'll just cover everything.
Right. We'll just cover everything today. You can visit our website. It's spayneuterclinics.net, and that pretty much will give you the rundown of everything we do here. I founded this business 6 years ago because I firmly believe spay-neuter is the answer. Warehousing animals is not. I worked in a shelter for 4.5 years, and it was a tough job because I just thought if more people got their pets spayed and neutered, we wouldn't have so many unwanted animals. And so we developed this freestanding business where we do spays and neuters for people that are affordable, so that people will get it done. And we also offer vaccinations, heartworm, flea and tick, and all those sort of things. And we don't do any sick animal or emergency medicine, so we can focus on just a couple things, the spaying and the neutering and the wellness, and help people keep their pets healthy and live longer, happier lives by getting them spayed and neutered.
And I have to say, I went up there, it's been about a year ago, but she gave her office gave my dog his Bordadello so they can kennel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to have a pet, you need to care for the pet. And don't get it because it's cute and then not care for it and tie it up outside and not take care and not get it spayed and neutered and all that kind of stuff. It's important that you care for the animal that you have. It really is. So, Susan,
yes, did you get your
health care?
No. How I ended up on the Neil Cavuto show was through the American Veterinary Medical Association, we have a group health insurance. And back in 2011, they sent us a letter saying due to sweeping changes in the ACA, they were going to raise our premiums 29%, which they did. And then the next year, they sent us another letter saying in 2012, but because of reforms in the Affordable Care Act, they jacked up our premiums another 9%. So over 2 years, we had a 35% increase. And then at the beginning of this year, they sent us a letter stating that they were going to no longer offer us health care after the end of this year. So I thought that was especially nice. They jacked up our premiums through, I think it was New York MetLife was the underwriter. Then over 2 years, and then they dropped us. And then when they were offered, you know, they said that maybe, you know, your insurance company, you could keep it. Well, it's too late. New York MetLife has already exited the healthcare market, so there is no option for us. And what we were told by our AVMA liaison is that not to even waste our time going on the Obamacare website because most of us wouldn't qualify. And there really weren't any exchanges set up in Ohio. So I went to a private insurance carrier, and as of right now, it's looking like my premiums are going to triple. I'm going to be paying, if I decide to do it, around $1,000 a month for health care, and to me that's just unacceptable.
How much?
$1,000 a month is what my first quote was for, and I was like, that's insane. And I know.
You're not that old.
I'm like, I'm not that old. I'm fairly healthy. The only thing really wrong with me, I have hypothyroidism, but I manage that medically, and it's not a big deal. But, yeah, $1,000, and because of all the standards you have to meet the Obamacare standards, and I just laughed. I said, you know, it's cheaper for me to pay the penalty than it is for me to pay for insurance because that's ridiculous. I mean, $1,000 a month is just way out of hand, in my opinion.
Why so much? That's a lot of money. Who can afford that?
That's exactly right. And a lot of people are getting hit with that have lost their health care premiums. And people trying to get into some of the exchanges, what they're finding out is that their premiums are doubling and tripling for themselves. And what they thought when they opened all this up that there would be more healthy people that signed up so they would make the difference for the unhealthy people. And that's not true. There's more unhealthy people, so to speak, are signing up, and less healthy people are signing up. So it's just creating a huge gap. And it's just, I don't know. I see this as the Titanic. It's sinking and sinking fast.
Wow. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Anybody else been out there and seen that happen? Because, I mean, that's a lot of money, Susan. I mean, they were just talking about rent in certain places. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you the saving grace for my family is the fact that my wife is an actor, so she's in the SAG union. So our premiums are about $140 a month for our family, but a family of four. But otherwise, our premiums would be $1,140 I was quoted for, and everything I got wasn't
wow.
much cheaper than that. So that's I'm definitely pushing my wife in her acting career because if she loses her SAG insurance, it's gonna take $1,000 out of our. Family budget.
Who has an additional $1,000 a month to go put on your health care? And
yep.
You're a young family.
Yeah, we're 33, we're kids 5 and 3.
Wow.
Yeah, $1,100 a month is what they want us to pay, and so I don't know. I mean, I don't know how. I don't know how folks are doing it. I mean, it's, I have a higher than average income, but even still, it's still a lot of money, you know, and I know that we can't afford it, you know, so it makes me angry. It really does. It just makes me so angry, but I don't know. I'm just trying not to think about it.
Susan, was that a family plan or was that a personal plan?
That's a personal plan. I'm just responsible for myself. And I hear what, like Alex said, I have employees that have been seeking insurance for themselves. My one employee, she's an unmarried young lady and she has two children. She lost her health care, but they let her keep it for her two kids. So she doesn't know what's going to happen for her down the road. And one of my other employees, her and her husband went and tried to get insurance, and they were quoted for a family plan somewhere in the neighborhood of $700 or $800 a month, which is basically one paycheck for them. And they're just like, what are we going to do? So I don't know what the answer is at this point in time, but I'm just, as I said in my interview, I'm very disappointed that they haven't left this in the hands of medical professionals and the doctors, the surgeons, the dentists and all that. Let them make the decisions, not politicians, because the way I put it quite bluntly is, do you want Harry Reid doing your open heart surgery? Well, no, but that's basically what this amounts to, is you're letting politicians make decisions about your health care, and to me, as a medical professional, that is completely and totally unacceptable.
I was just reading a little bit earlier about the death panels, and when Sarah Palin mentioned death panels, they were saying that, you know, she was off her rocker, that was crazy, it would never come down to that. And inside the law, death panels, it's actually written.
Exactly.
They will be making decisions on who lives and who dies based upon how much
exactly.
it's going to cost and if it's really worth them actually doing a medical procedure on you because of your health.
Exactly.
Is that not crazy or what? And then you're going to pay $1,000 on top of for you to tell me that I can't get something?
Yes.
You know how mad
that
will make somebody?
And that does make me mad because right now I have really good health care. My hospitalization program is really good. I don't get sick very often at all. I'm fairly healthy. And since I've been doing the weight loss program and the nutrition program I've been doing, I've absolutely not been sick in a couple of years. But because of my profession, being a veterinarian, I've been hurt. I've had the bejesus kicked out of me by horses and cows and ended up in the emergency room. And it's just the risk with my profession, you know, and it's one of the things I worry about.
The horse
what
didn't
want to
be spayed or neutered.
I have never heard anybody personally say they've been kicked by a horse.
Oh, yes.
They kick pretty hard, too, I hear.
They kick hard. Camels kick hard. Cows kick hard. I actually quit doing dairy practice medicine because I got attacked by a cow after we delivered her baby, and she tried to squish me and basically knocked me out unconscious, trying to grind me into the ground. I guess she thought I wanted to have some veal right on the spot, but she wasn't really grateful for what I did for her. And that was
wow.
it. So I said, no more cows.
Susan, you got to come back on and talk about your veterinary business because I don't want to commingle that because I love animals and I want to talk about veterinary medicine because I think it's fascinating, and what you do is really an honor. And when we talk about health care, you know, some people care more for their pets than we care for our own selves, and
mm-hmm.
it really should not be
yes.
that way. And for the
yes,
government to come in and do what it's doing to America, and they're treating us worse than we treat people, or we treat our pets, did I say?
Yeah, I understand.
And that's not supposed to be that way.
No, and it's very, very concerning to me what's going to happen on down the road. And I'm my own human doctor. He's not very happy with the situation, and he said, one thing he told me, he says, I will not compromise my standards of care or my compassion for treating people because the government told me what or what not to do. And he said, what am I going to do? I don't know yet, but I will tell you this. If someone walks through my door and they're sick and they need my help, I will serve them to the best of my ability and, you know, do everything I can. And I think what that's going to do is drive a lot of medical professionals into a cash-only basis because they won't want to accept any types of insurance because they won't want to deal with the hassles and the headaches of the insurance. And I think that's something else that nobody's thought of either. So
they call it concierge. There's going to be a huge concierge business. And
yeah.
I don't think and it's only going to be for the wealthy because other people will not be able to afford it.
Yeah.
And that's
and
just real.
It's very, very concerning to me. What's going to happen on down the line here. And I pray every day for a great solution for this country because, you know, we live in a great country. There's a lot of great people here. And I just know there has to be a solution to this problem that's better than what we have been forced to take. And that's That's just my
just
answer to that. I just
don't think they have the politicians have enough common sense. I mean, all they had to do was open up the insurances so that they can compete from state to state. It wasn't rocket science.
Right. And that's another great option, you know, create free,
it wasn't
free market trade.
Yes.
So.
It wasn't rocket science. And you don't have to, because we have a very, very good healthcare in America. We really do. And right now, the way that they're doing, every doctor that I know hates it.
Yeah. It's a big topic. And, you know, like when I went to this, I just came from my Salus National Training. There's a lot of people talking about getting healthy and what it means right now to getting people healthy, because you're not going to afford to be sick.
You're going to be penalized if you're not healthy.
Right. And the other thing is, are you going to be able to find the care you need if you get sick? So I think there's no better time now than for people to wake up and start taking care of themselves, because I think it's going to be a long, hard road before we get a lot of this solved and worked out.
Wow. Well, Susan, I thank you for coming on and telling us how, because I've asked some people, you know, how has it worked for them, and most people have not called in and been honest and said, you know, what happened to them personally. And I appreciate you being willing to come out and tell your story about trying to get your insurance, and over the years, in the last couple of years, how your insurance premiums have gone up. And if your premiums have gone up, what has happened to your employees?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's affected. And if you don't make a profit, then you can't stay in business.
Exactly. And people can go and look. There's a great website. It's called mycancellation.com. And people are going there and posting their letters stating, you know, that they've lost their insurance. And sometimes they put a little story underneath it that says, you know, what happened and how much they were quoted to pay again. So that's a great source of information. It's just mycancellation.com. And that's where my letter was posted, that the Fox News Channel picked up on it, Googled my name, and found me because of my website for the spay-neuter clinic, and that's how I ended up on the Neil Cavuto show.
Well, I'm glad. I was glad to see you out there. I've been very, very proud of what you've done. I've known it for a couple of years now, and it's really, really wonderful. And we got great things coming out of Hubbard. So listen,
there
God
you
bless
go.
You, Susan. Thank you so much for coming on with me. I appreciate it. I'm going to take my break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. When we come back, we'll continue with our open mic. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Thank you.
Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment. The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts. The Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600, WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM. The number is 347-945-5229. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here, on again, on WSLM. South Carolina, your mic is up. So is yours, Alabama.
Great.
So is yours, not so blind. Mike, how you doing today?
Fine, thank you. I was on earlier, but you didn't acknowledge me. Lisa spoke up. What South Carolina tried to tell you, he and I were standing side by side. He handed me the phone, and Lisa spoke up, said, I'm not with him. And you guys got all excited about Lisa and South Carolina being together. You started a rumor.
Oh.
He and I had Tracy, we were together.
I was going to tell you, Tracy, you know, I know a good way to lose about 150 pounds real easy overnight.
I do too, don't he?
It's going to cost me a hell of a lot to get rid of her.
What? How do you lose it?
You didn't get that one.
Never mind.
Never mind, see, Tracy.
Are you trying to say I'm slow or something?
Tracy,
you didn't get it.
When I used to work in the weight loss industry. Because honey, I was single till I was 40 years old because the girl I was engaged to when I was younger died, and I just went back to work. And I basically stay busy. And I was very successful in that industry. And it was funny because statistically, only 7 women out of about 10,000, right, mostly women, I shouldn't say only women, but only 7 out of 10,000 actually have a hormonal disorder that will interfere with weight loss. The rest of them all tell you that. But here's what I do know. I don't care who you are. If you're one of the other 9,993, if I packed your butt over to a third world country where there was no food, you'd lose weight.
But you wouldn't be healthy either.
Well, the point is there's healthy ways of losing weight. All these crazy diets and things that people do is not the healthy way to lose weight because you drop your metabolism. And when you drop your metabolism and then you get off whatever program is you're on, you can gain the weight back faster because now you're coming into the game again with a lower metabolism than you left with because your body will defend against starvation. So you have to know how to feed your body. And basically, for the really heavy people, and I'm talking about people I worked with as heavy as 600 pounds, I treated them like an Olympic athlete. I fed them that well. And they lost weight because, let's face it, they're doing a lot of hard physical work. I mean, if you were carrying around a 400-pound sack of rocks on your back all day long, you're working pretty hard physically. And so we treated them more like athletes than we did fat people, and they lost the weight.
Yeah.
And I appreciate him saying the truth like that because too many people are saying, I can't lose the weight, I'm a big bone, I'm this. We're coming to all the gyms in the world. I'm a big bone, it's in the genes.
But Stanley, I hate to tell you this. I don't care. If I get down too far, I'm going to look dead.
Yeah, exactly.
I am big.
No,
I'm not going to let you get away with I'm sorry. I mean, I may be shapely. But if I get down too far, I'll look dead.
Just can carry the weight because they have the bone structure. They're larger than normal bone structure.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a little chunky, but if I get down too far, y'all think me, was she on crack?
Yeah,
hold on,
but I'm sorry. If you go ahead.
Hold on. Local call, your mic is on.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon, Tracy. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I think it's open mic today.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was asking you, what do you think about this new thing that they got on TV about teenagers walking up knocking people out? Have you heard about that?
No, I ain't heard about that one. I heard about the new drug that's in Ohio called Crocodile.
I haven't heard about that, but supposedly they got a new thing going on where teenagers walk up and they just knock people out for no reason. I think it started somewhere over in Syracuse or something like that, but it's supposed to be going all across the nation. It's supposed to be this new thing that's out.
It's called the knockout game. It's called the knockout game.
And they film it on their cell phones and they put it up on the internet.
And what they're doing, Tracy... Oh yes, they are. They walking up to. I mean, just like this regular old Joe Blow walking down the street, hear about three or four kids walking up, coming towards them, and just all of a sudden one of them just busts out and
hits
him with a, you know, cold cocks him and knocks him out cold. They killed the guy up in New York.
I think one man already got killed, I think, somewhere
yeah.
around here
yeah.
As a result of that.
Can I ask you a question? Are they hitting anybody in the hood? I just want to know if they're insane.
Most of the Al Sharpton spoke out about it yesterday. And he's
when I seen it on TV, they had hit a girl. One girl that got hit, and I think it was an old man that got hit. This girl, I mean, when they
the
hit her, man,
is they
I
hit
mean,
a white person.
Knocked her. She was unconscious, man. You know, and they need to send a message out to the teenagers about that. I mean, you know, because you hit somebody like that for no apparent reason, they need to know if you do that in advance, how much time you know you're gonna be facing, and that might change their mind about it because it's just for nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Also, I mean, if you're going to walk up behind a woman, a 60-something-year-old man, and hit him with all your might and hit him in the jaw and knock him out, when I was 15, I would have been like, man, why you do that? That's crazy. Like, they hitting old women. I think some old woman shot and killed two of them. I mean, for the life of me, I can't understand the youth that would think that that's funny. When I was a kid, I would have thought that was wrong. Like, I just don't – something is wrong with you mentally. You're not going to be a good – upstanding member of society if you're walking around at 14, 15, hauling off, busting folks in their face and knocking
right.
them.
And
I mean, they hit that girl probably about 140 pounds. Little skinny white girl.
Going to
walk
they
up
also
to hit that
need
girl.
To know that, hey, when you hit people like that, if you hit a woman or if you hit an older person like that, when you go to the penitentiary, I've never been there, but from what I've heard, if you got a reputation of doing something like that, when you get to the penitentiary, you know, they're going to be waiting on you.
Beating
up an older person, you know, just like beating up a child, you know, that's a shame, man. They shouldn't be doing nothing like that.
I saw one that's asking the old man for directions. He was trying, yeah, I think you go bam, and then they all run off and laughing, like as if it's funny. Like some stuff ain't funny, man. That
ain't funny
with you on the inside to hit an old person like that, man. You hit my mama or something, I'm come find you. I mean, I promise you.
There you go again. Yes,
they have not come upon the right person yet. You see, they prey upon
people. No, they got two of them got killed now. Two of them already got killed, South Carolina, doing that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because you...
No, but they ain't hit nobody in the hood.
Somebody asked you, you don't hit nobody in the hood.
They ain't hit nobody in the hood because the hood
is hit white people. The objective is to hit white people. That's the game. It's not about hitting black folks in the hood. Because you might get your head bust, you hit somebody, mama or grandmama. They know who they hitting. They know they hitting somebody that look like, okay, this guy living on the side of town. They don't know me. I ain't going to ever see him again. I'm going to hit him and run off.
What in the world would – do you know what would happen if my mama heard about me tripping somebody as they were walking in front of me when I was a kid? Do you know life would come like – I'd, like, be dead?
Look, I got beat to sleep one time for hollering at the teacher. So I just imagine hollering up hitting in the mouth.
Listen, I got post-traumatic stress disorder from when my mom beat me one time. I ain't going back for nothing.
Come on. That's some crazy stuff, guys.
That's what's going on.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
They're
doing that is crazy.
You know, I opened the show today talking about, you know, this drug called Crocodile. Look it up. It'll blow your mind. It's a flesh-eating drug that comes like heroin.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, what you think they
in Ohio?
Molly. They talking about Molly now.
That started over
what
in,
is Molly?
In Russia, Tracy.
Yeah.
Molly is a pill you take. You take these pills, and these kids popping Mollies. Like, you know, when I was coming up, when I was younger, you look at a person that smoked weed, I kind of looked at them like they were smoking drugs. I never even tried it. And then when the Chronic hit, I was in my 11th grade year, the album hit, it became popular. But ever since then, drugs, it was just weed. But now folks are starting to try these mollies. You try mollies, you trying coke, heroin, you might as
what
well.
What is a molly?
I mean, I don't see you get a molly's appeal you
Hello.
Take. It's a
Alabama, you got to explain to the crazy people who don't know nothing. What is a molly?
A molly is a bean. It's like a pill that you take that's got all types of different drugs in it. It makes you real sexually erotic and make you want to have sex. Your body, like if somebody touch your body, you may have an orgasm or something like that type of, that's how it is. Like it makes your whole body just sensitive. your clothes, everything. Like, that's how they say it make you feel.
Are you kidding me?
Like, you'll sit there and rub up on a couch or something and just get off on it. Like, yeah.
So
yeah.
What's the
and
side
you got
effect?
People that take them, you got guys that give a girl a pill just to get her to have sex with them. And she don't even know that she just had one.
What are the side effects of it?
It don't bring you. I don't look. I don't know. Ain't no doctor.
One,
I just know.
The one that I'm talking about,
it
actually
girls in the first place.
People's digits are coming off of their body.
Look, if you can't be high on life and living and stuff, you got to take a drug. Something wrong with you anyway.
What'd you say, South Carolina?
That crocodile originated over in Europe. They're having some serious issues with it over in Russia, with people taking this stuff and shooting it up in their veins. And you're actually right; they are losing their hands, their legs. You know, you see some of the pictures of the folks that shot this stuff up, and I mean, it just looks absolutely ridiculous.
Woo!
I mean, they've got gangrene in their hands and still attached to their body, and you know. It's crazy.
Like that and be put in a mental hospital because that's just right out of suicide. You know, that's crazy.
I mean, those limbs are coming off.
Right.
And when you mention, you know, this other drug, I mean, I'm looking at this and going, you know, whether it be a drug or whether it be kids going down the street hitting each other, that's just crazy, and we're not paying attention.
You know something crazy? You know what I say? You turn your TV on, you listen to shows like CNN, and you hear all this hatred in politics, you know what I'm saying? To me, hate on one level is one thing, but on another level is another. And the people on the upper level don't realize that they somewhat have an influence on these young people by hating on each other, by having all the stuff on Fox News and CNN, because they don't understand that on their level they hate. You know, maybe in some respectful terms or something like that. But when it get down into the ghetto, it turns into a whole other thing. It gets monstrous, you know what I'm saying? And they need to be open-minded about the influences that they really have, you know what I'm saying? Because they really don't think they have an influence when they really are. To me, if young people was hating nowadays, it's on account. It's just on account of the adults doing so. And them just, you know what I'm talking about.
Wow.
It's going from one generation to the
next. Wow.
Watch how they really, really doing. That's spooky, but that's...
That's real.
That's real. That's what's going on. That's it. That's unreal. That's unbelievable.
Wow. How do we start getting our young people? Because, I mean, they're trying some stuff every day. Somebody's trying to take all of them out all in one swing when you start walking up to people and just hitting them for the heck of it, something really wrong.
But on the other hand, listen, if you sit up in a high position and you got a lot of people watching you, sitting back and people can see, you know what I'm saying, that you hating on somebody for no reason at all, hey, that goes from the adults to the kids. That's just like in the cocaine generation, you know what I'm saying? When they was out there getting it done, it went to the next generation. And when it got to the next generation, they went from 38 to, what, mags and semi-automatic weapons. See, hey. They need to watch that, because when it gets to the next generation, it's going to escalate up to a whole other level, you know what I mean, and it's going to be extremely dangerous. So they need to watch what they're saying on TV.
Hold on.
Around some of these kids.
Hold on. 831, your mic is on.
Hi, Tracy. This
Hi,
is
Bonnie.
Bonnie. You guys are scaring me here. You know?
Well, you need to be scared. Thanksgiving's here. You need to
so.
Be scared. There's some scary
so.
Stuff out there right now.
Yeah, I don't have you know, I told you I turned off my cable, but now I don't sound so crazy, do I?
No, but the thing is, if you turn off your cable, your information source, you won't know what's out there.
Hey,
and even if you don't believe in it.
I'm listening to Tracy and Friend. I can
get
all my...
I can't cover it all. Hey, Sam, guess
I
who called
Amy.
Today? Did you hear Stanley call?
I heard him. I heard Stanley on there. He was almost kind of quiet.
Give him
That's
a minute.
That's not his nature.
Enjoy
I got
it. Enjoy it.
wait, I'm going to put out an APB and let folks know. Jeff, them know Stanley came on today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? The Browns lost, so maybe that's why Stanley came on today.
I don't think so. I think it was you guys talking about dieting.
Women?
Dieting. And women, you know.
Yeah.
That always gets Stanley. He was pretty laid back.
We didn't talk about religion.
We
didn't talk about religion, though.
Well, we didn't get that far. You still got some time left today.
I got some time. Okay.
Yeah. But I think we're going to get snowed in.
No, we're going to get snowed. We can't get snowed in. I'm having Thanksgiving dinner, and I can't eat that much
food.
Oh,
so am I. Yeah.
I'm looking outside the window. Wow.
But I'm going to be working tomorrow.
Snowing?
And if you have the day off, it's going to be.
Is it snowing, Tracy?
Yes.
My tracks are covered from me coming in already.
South Carolina, I'm not asking you for your weather report. Just so that you know, I know you are our resident weatherman, but I didn't ask you what the weather was like in South Carolina, did I? No. And just so that you know, we don't care.
And don't ask Alabama either, because Alabama will tell you something we don't want to hear.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't want to know. Right now it's snowing here, and we live in the Midwest, and today we're going to find out that it's really the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
You could move.
Yeah.
Well, you guys were talking about rent a little bit earlier today. I'm not moving anywhere. They talking about if you make $50,000, you're a pauper. That's a bad way to feel. In New York?
Yeah.
Yep. So, and I think Stanley was saying that before you move into an apartment, you got to pay 6 months in advance to move into an apartment in New York in some places.
Yeah,
and you know that's crazy.
You got to pay upload 6 months or 3 months. That depends, and they have to do a credit check. So you're going to hell if you're coming to New York. I don't know about different other places how it works, but here it is. Good luck.
What happened
good
to first, last, and security?
Look,
Stanley?
They don't want to take no chances since what happened. They want to make sure that they're not going to lose it. And it's crazy here. It's crazy. And I'm sorry, $50,000, you can't make it in New York. You can't. You won't.
How much does a secretary make? Or like McDonald's people make?
I don't know how they make it.
$15 an hour.
Yeah, I don't know how they make it if you're working at McDonald's and things like that. I don't know. I don't know. I have my own business, but I don't know. I don't know. How is it in California? Is it better over there, the salary?
No. You know, you guys are about the same. The only thing is if you get homeless, you can sleep outside and it still be warm.
Wow.
Whereas in New York, if you get homeless and you stay outside, you'll freeze.
I got to say, for one thing, I for the first time, I have to say I agree with you for the Obamacare. I'm very disappointed. I thought I was never going to say this, ever.
Stanley!
But for the first time since a long time, I got to say, I got to give due to due. You were right, Tracy. I was wrong. Yes.
Wait a minute, Stanley. Hold up. You were with me when this was going on. You had not left me yet. And you were telling me that I was crazy about Obamacare.
I know.
You're not telling
me. I know. No, you were right.
Hey, South Carolina, you hear that?
You were right.
I just got up off the floor.
Tracy, I'm dumbfounded. I can't. I don't think I'm hearing okay. I think I heard something.
No, you were right. I'm the first one to tell you. I'm very disappointed what happened. Very disappointed how the president went through a lot of shit, and very disappointed that he's. I mean, computers. You got to understand a website. You get it. You don't put a website like this without thorough check, without testing it. He could have done a beta check a long time ago. I mean, he could have brought a lot of people coming in at the same time, testing it out. It would be like me bringing the best product in the world. This was every IT dream of saying you are basically going to be the person responsible for creating the website that's going to bring the healthcare to the United States. You got to make sure that every user is going to be able, and it's blocking and it's
let
crazy,
me say something.
And it's
let me say something, Stanley. Let me throw this in. I talked to some friends of mine, and they are liberals. They are Obama fans, And, you know, they were saying that, and they work in major businesses, and they were telling me that, you know, no matter where you are, and if anything that is that big as the healthcare website, you know, there were going to be problems. But they said, you know, some things could have been an easy fix if it had been nothing else but having them allocated by states. So instead of everyone going into one central internet portal, they could have gone through, you know, Affordable Healthcare Act, Ohio, Affordable Healthcare Act, New York, you know, and for each state to have their own subdivision, and then it go into one separate area and then come back instead of everyone trying to get into the same system the same way.
Yeah, they're going to do a rotation of servers.
Absolutely.
So that people comes in and everything doesn't freeze on them and everything. That's how we do it in different companies.
And something that simple they didn't even think about.
I'm disappointed. I'm getting to do. You were right. I'm disappointed, and I'm hearing what she said. I'm going to read it more, the Obamacare. I'm disappointed of somebody paying $1,000.
Oh, absolutely. We told you they was going to come after the little man. The little man. Let me say this, Stanley, and this is just the beginning. You know, when you hear about death panels, and now the media has just found out that death panels is really that's really written into the Affordable Health Care Act. Can you imagine when you go to get services, they find that you're diabetic, so you can't have a heart transplant, or you can't have a limb, you know, a hip replacement, because they don't think you're too much of a risk. And then I was reading somewhere the other day, you know, I'm all for people not smoking. But I read something somewhere that if you are a smoker, they're really going to get you. But yes,
I think that you're probably, if anyone wants to put money in some stock, I think morphine would be the thing to do if this continues, because morphine has been used since South Carolina probably knows Vietnam War. Isn't that what they gave the soldiers so that they didn't know their limbs were missing?
Yep.
And so
there's going to be
a huge explosion in the pharmaceutical, in any of these drugs that allow people to, like what morphine does. And you're going to see an explosion in that.
You can't even get morphine, can you?
You will be able to pretty soon.
With whatever you do, don't do a crocodile.
I was can't listen to that.
Don't do crocodiles. Don't. And let me say this: you got to start talking to your children and to your young people about drug use, because it is not they're not smoking weed like you did when you were a kid.
Actually,
this is not the same thing.
When I was a kid.
But I'm just saying, those of us who did, you know, we think it's harmless
right.
little grass that grows on little trees with five little leaves. It is not the same anymore. Don't do it.
Right. Right.
And then you get inebriated and start doing other things, and it's not the same. And our kids are hurting today. I mean, they really, really are from depression. They're self-medicating, and we need to start having conversations with them. Anytime you have a game where people start going down the street and start hitting people for the sake of hitting people, you know they're doing drugs too, or drinking something. They're not just kids with no something more is going on. I'm just saying.
Well, Tracy, isn't it this weekend that one of the Hunger Games, one of the shows,
it was last weekend
series, it premieres? There's a new one.
Last weekend.
Yeah, Catching Fire. That was this weekend.
It was this weekend.
No, last weekend.
$161 million.
I wanted to
really?
Go see that. I haven't seen Hunger Games first, but they tell me it's not about what I think it is. It's about live or kill or be killed. But you've got to. Have you seen it in South Carolina?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's very good, very good. The movie itself has there's a 3-part series. It talks about how the government has one particular part of the country won the war or suppressed a rebellion and essentially has enslaved the rest of the districts. And the way they commemorate their victory is a
take two tributes, a boy and a girl, and they fight in what's called the Hunger Games, and that's supposed to substitute for war. And the person that wins gets to go to the capital and live like a king for the rest of their lives. Well, these tributes have become too much of a, how do you say, threat now, because they see what it's like, and you know, and they're not going to put up with the tyranny of the capital anymore. So, and if I say any more, I'll be spoiling it. So,
okay. So I plan on seeing it. I meant to go a couple weeks ago, and I didn't get a chance to go last weekend.
It's a good movie. You'd be surprised in some of the, and it opens your eyes to what can happen if we start to continue, or we continue to give away our liberties and our freedoms to the government.
Well, South Carolina, aren't they videotaping the entire society? Everyone is being watched.
It's getting pretty close to it. I mean, you can't move anywhere without a camera being on you.
The cameras are on you all the time. We're very close
pretty
to it
much.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing that now.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on, but I know that you people don't realize just how frequently they are videotaped every day. I mean, you have no idea in the sake of, I don't know what they call it now.
For your own safety, they're videotaping you, keeping you protecting
everything.
You, keeping you from any hurt, harm, or danger. Yep, and we are allowing it. We're not saying anything about it. But like I said earlier in the show, you know, they said that Obamacare is essentially the death knell to liberalism. It set them back a good 30, 40 years because people see what happens when big government goes crazy.
How?
Obamacare is the death knell for it.
No, who said that?
Yeah.
269, your mic is on.
Two-six-nine is being quiet.
They pushed the button. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229, South Carolina. Run the show while I'm gone. I'll be right back.
I'm Harper Key.
Hey, Stanley. Stanley. Is Stan still? Stan left?
I don't know. I haven't heard him.
Oh, okay.
You know, he could have probably done the website.
That's what I was going to ask him. I was going to ask him.
Yeah,
to build that website.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because it's just kind of, it just seems rather crazy to me that they did that. And, you know.
Well, you know, Facebook is kind of like that spider web effect.
Yeah.
And that sounds like this is what the government needed to communicate or allow the communication. I mean, not quite like Facebook, but very similar because there's a lot of personal information out there.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, there's already things out there that seem to be what they needed to at least just give the information to the people.
That
didn't seem like it was going to be that hard. I mean, credit card applications, for goodness sakes. I don't believe it was meant to work.
I agree with you. It's doing its purpose, you know.
I do too. I do too.
The only thing is, I don't think they counted on the American people being so upset about it. Really.
Well, I think a lot of people do remember how, you know, during the campaign, this last campaign, when Romney, you know, this was supposed to be something Romney put together for Massachusetts. And you know, our president was really down on that, saying that, you know, our senior citizens were going to lose their health care, you know, those on Medicaid were going to be cut. On one of Tracy's shows, right after this all came out, and I want to say it was like September, I called Ohio Medicaid. And there's going to be changes coming to Ohio Medicaid, and I think they're going to be here, South Carolina, before the first of the year. Because they're going to need to straighten up something. Now, think about this. They need to straighten up something before they let something else take place. So those people and all of their information would already be government-controlled or information already there in a database, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they could use those. I'm just thinking out loud because, you know, I'm old and I don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, they already have the information, personal information and data on health care that they could use and run, you know, samples to see how the programs are going to work. And they already are going to use Medicaid, Medicare, and, you know, some of those others that are already in place. They're going to start using those because that would make the most sense. If the data is not, if it can't hold the data correctly, they have to use something to keep the programmer or using it as an example or practicing with it. And back in September, I called, and they said there will be three ways to get Medicaid. Institutionalized.
Mm-hmm.
Hospitalized, you know, for long-term care in a place where you're, you know, can't get rehab, or in a group, like say people that are institutionalized for like group homes,
right?
And they are all going to be, you know, that's I think that's coming, and I think that they're going to, you know, then those that aren't institutionalized. We'll have to go into another.
It's open mic today and had a great opportunity. I'm glad Stanley called back in. I don't know if you've listened to me long enough to know who Stanley is, but Stanley is one of my long callers, and he took a break and took a sabbatical and was doing some things and taking care of some business, and now he is back, and I just want to be glad to hear his voice.
Wow.
Cool. What are you guys talking about?
I'm sorry, I'm in the store. I apologize.
Oh, that's you. Oh. And I want to thank I'm glad to hear you. Stanley, I don't think you really understand. I joke a lot, but I'm glad to hear your voice. There was no one for the last year that actually irritate me politically. And, you know, there's those, but then there's those that you love to hear and just have a dialogue with. And I don't think you know how much I love you and I've missed you.
I appreciate it also. Same thing here. Same thing here, Tracy. Same thing. You guys.
And so I got your number now, so I know where to find you because I was like, whoa, where is Stanley? Everybody was asking, where is Stanley? I mean, yeah, you weren't even around for presidential election, were you, Stanley?
No, I had some stuff I had to resolve in the family and everything.
That's okay. We understand family comes first. We understand you got things to do and business is business. That's not the point. The problem is, we didn't have anybody to spar with.
Yeah,
you know how it's like going through a whole presidential election without Stanley? And he was a Mormon?
Yeah, well,
Jeff, you know, just didn't have anybody to yell at.
Well, Jeff will be happy when I'll have to say to him also that he was right. So, I can't believe I'm going to have to say that.
Well, can you do me a favor? Can you wait until I'm here to do it on a Monday or a Friday or a Tuesday?
Oh, God. Jeff,
please don't do it without, because I want to see his face. Because I need to take a picture,
Jeff,
so I can put it on Facebook. Hey, Stanley, you're not my. Are you on Facebook?
No, I'm gonna add myself on Facebook.
Would you please? Because we don't even we couldn't even send out an APB for you. Wait until people find out.
Yeah. Except that so the Obamacare, so everybody's worried about it. How do we resolve this, Tracy? How do we?
We educate people, as I've said in the past, unless we start educating people on how the process works. Because even
well,
when
Bonnie
you look at the nuclear,
we didn't know if you heard it, but Bonnie and I, when you were off the air, we were talking and really wanted to ask Stanley a serious question. we either thought that you could build a site, or how long would it take to actually build a site that would work?
That depends on the number of users that's logging in and everything, which is a lot. But I don't understand why he didn't do a rotation on server. I don't understand why he went. He did a lot of things that I don't understand. We have the intelligent people that could do it here. And he went outside of there, and he went to get a contract and CGI outside to do that. I don't understand why he did that. I don't. He didn't even go get the expertise of here that could do this.
We've got some great people here. Michigan.
What's going on, Stanley? That Stanley lost his mojo, man.
Yeah. Listen, this is the problem. When you're working inside of an industry and you know that there's going to be some mess ups. There's going to be crazy things when you have a rollout like this. But there was some real simple stuff that they could have done that they didn't do, that they knew. And all they had to do was they could have sent out a piece of paper to everybody and say, fill this card out.
They could have done the state thing like you're saying. I don't understand why they didn't do that. They could have done – there's many things they could have done. And I'm sorry. This is supposed to be – you're supposed to get the best of the best in website. And there's people that would have basically said, this is what we need to do, bang, bang, bang. And they would have not – it would have been perfect, no, but not the trouble we're hearing now. I'm sorry,
Stanley. Could you have been the project manager on this? Stanley, apologizing because
I'm disappointed at what Obama did with the Obamacare. He had this perfect opportunity to basically do what he said, and he didn't deliver. I'm sorry, he didn't deliver when he came push come to shove. I have to give credit to credit due. He had the opportunity to shut everybody and say, and if he would have delivered, Tracy would have been the first one to say, you know what, Stanley, you were right. And I'm humble enough as a man to say I was wrong. He didn't deliver.
Michigan, you weren't around for the circle.
Yeah.
The circle that Stanley and I went through for a very, very long time.
Yeah, he didn't deliver.
I guess I'm just listening to his explanation. He's not very specific about, you know.
He didn't deliver with the website, with all the problems that he had on the website, he should have never had it.
Okay, well, let's stop
slowing
right there.
Down
now,
the server that doesn't work, the time.
Hold on. So Tracy and Jeff didn't know that the servers were not going to work, so they weren't right about that. So you're sending mixed signals. What? So we're not talking about. They were right about
the thing that they were right about was like when I heard one person who just did an interview that saying that it's going to cost her $1,000 because of Obamacare.
Okay. Yeah.
Her premium is going to be $1,000. Jeff talked to me about that. I didn't know about that.
Michigan, we talked about several things over the good course of the span of time of the rollout of the Affordable Health Care Act. We fought day in and day out about a lot of things, and
I heard some things I was not right about.
But there are some things that we were absolutely on point, and they should have done something about it. And these are not mistakes that could not have been fixed. This was just bad planning.
Yeah.
This wasn't rocket science. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like those are, you're talking about, infrastructure problems, not the concept of...
No, I'm not, whether it be your premium going up, you can write legislation is nothing but words. You can write those words in any way that you want to. When we talked about death panels, and Sarah Palin came out and said that there are going to be death panels, and everybody thought she was crazy. But most people had not read the law, and death panels are in there, and they will tell you that they will if you are of a certain high risk, you may or may not get treatment, and they're just going to make you comfortable and let you die.
A lot of the stuff that I'm hearing with what people are saying about Obamacare, those same circumstances already exist. So I that's what I'm saying. It's kind of confusing because that happens, Tracy, without Obamacare. Same thing. You getting dropped. when you have certain illness. All of those things already happened.
But
you
weren't supposed to.
Wait a minute.
You weren't supposed to get dropped.
$1,000 premiums that already exist. So, in other words, Obamacare didn't create $1,000 premiums.
See,
I gotta disagree with that.
Listen to this.
I didn't have to listen.
It wasn't a tax mandate that I have to carry it. See, you're missing the point.
What I'm trying to get is the specifics. See, if an ignorant person is listening to you guys, you know, then that's one thing. But you're not being very specific about.
Let me get very specific with you. So you want details? Michigan.
True.
I was diagnosed with MS. When I went to go get insurance, either the premium was so high, or they wouldn't give me any service at all. Now all insurance carriers must carry me, but there is no premium or minimum of quality of care that I can get. So if they charge me $2,500 a month because I have a certain condition, now there is a mandate that I must have insurance or I will be fined. Before, I just said, well, I'm not paying it because I don't have it. Too bad. Now you can come after everything that I've ever owned. You can come after me as far as taxes because there's a mandate that I must carry my own personal insurance. That's where the issue
and
lies.
So what you're saying, okay, now that's an excellent point. So what you're saying is that you didn't have it before Obamacare because it was too high because of your condition, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And you're saying now that you have to have it, you're saying that the Obamacare is not providing any options for you where it would be lower now to go ahead and get it. Is that what you're saying?
Right. All they're doing is making me buy something that I can't afford to buy.
Okay. So there are no newer options for you.
And then there are other people out there, many people out there who were happy with the care that they had. They didn't use it. They had their health insurance and whatever it was. They paid their premium. And when they went to go back and have it renewed this year, they were told that they couldn't because it was no longer available because it did not meet the standards. And so this is just a cluster of major little minor details that should not have been, but it was written into legislation that nobody read, and so now they've passed it, and we don't know what to do with it.
So let me ask you this, and I could care less about Obamacare, you know. So I'm not, you know, a fan of Obamacare. So let me put that out there. But let me ask you this: let's assume that the concept of wanting to have everybody insured is that a good concept? Let's take Obama's name off of it.
No.
It's not. Okay. All right.
No.
Okay. Well,
The concept of giving everyone access to affordable health care is good.
Okay, that is
operative
good.
Word access and affordable.
Okay.
But mandating everyone be a part of this group so that some people win and everybody else loses is just bad. And all they had to do was open up the insurances to where you were no longer separate in states and let the states and the insurance companies compete through the interstate. And they did not do that. And I'm not quite sure why.
Let me ask you this. Prior to the attempt of Obamacare, what was the, what was the holdup for, you know, all of these brilliant state ideas of getting everyone access to affordable
profit
and good? Yeah. Where were all these beautiful ideas? Huh?
It was not their priority. Listen, I will tell you this. I have said it since the beginning. The biggest mess up that Republicans have ever done is they never touch people issues.
Yeah. And it was also about profit also. The insurance company was not going to change the way they were going to change the things because they're making profit and money off of it.
And now they're
profit.
Making more because they actually wrote the legislation. But it was about money. And the Democrats do it so they can actually control things, and the Republicans never touched it, and they should have. They don't deal with people issues.
Well, I think, you know, I've always said both parties, they're really one and the same. You know, it's about control. One just goes in a different direction to try to do it. They're one and the same. I mean, the joke is on the general public. And you know, those cheerleaders on both sides, like you guys for the, you know, the Republicans, I mean, the joke is really on you guys.
Hold on, didn't I just say the Republicans had a problem? I just said that, didn't I?
Yeah.
I ain't a cheerleader,
I'm just
being honest.
You run the game, you run the game of, you know, hey, you need to choose over the left or the right, you know, run the game.
No, Michigan, please don't misunderstand me. I really want people to understand the people need to get involved in it politically because everything, I told this to a man the other day, Everything, including the hair on your head, is a piece of legislation. Everything. And until good people get in to shape some of these stupid ideas that these other people have, we will always be in the situation that we're in. And if you want to be a Republican, you should be one. And if you want to be Democrat, you should be one. But you need to know what it means and what they stand for, and you ought to make sure they align to what you believe. I've never said that we ought to go into a system that's anything different than that.
Yeah,
and I never will.
The bottom line, Tracy, it's interest. You know, good people. You know, hey, we need some good people. And, well, we know that term means nothing.
Good people are people like you.
Everyone who runs for office
Michigan.
Will have interest.
Michigan, you have
that.
An interest,
that's
but you ran for office and you won.
Be running game. Yeah. So
Michigan, did you not run for office? Did you run for office?
Yeah, I ran for office.
Did you win? Did you have an
interest? Yeah, I won.
And was your interest, and did you serve the people well?
What I went
in
there to
do,
I could not get done.
Because you had to have a group of four, but if you had ran out as a slate with common interest, would you have gotten some good things done?
We had a slate. We had the majority.
Then why didn't y'all get some done? Hold on.
516,
your mic is on.
They stopped.
Hello, good afternoon. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm listening to the conversation, engaging. About Obamacare, I was looking up some facts online, and I just wanted to just drop a note. I agree with, you know, both sides of the argument, a lot of things that everyone's saying, and I understand that a lot of people are upset and they're frustrated with it, like myself included, but one point that I would like to make is overall, I think the whole system, starting from the website, the ideas, it's all a faulty system, and my biggest problem with it all is that so many people have lost insurance right now, and a lot of people can't afford it, and it just wasn't properly planned. And right now, Congress is fumbling on what to do. I know that the latest news is we're coming down to the wire of the website's supposed to be fixed. Seems like there's a lot of focus on that before the holiday weekend, but what if somebody gets sick during the holiday weekend who lost their plan? That's going to now be in trouble because of the glitches.
I agree. They're playing games with people's lives.
And you know what it is, and it's one point that I believe you made, Tracy, about politics. It's not about your politics, but so many people are focused in on the political side of everything that it's like nobody's actually asking the appropriate questions. And the thing that makes me upset is, you know, so many people are pointing things at Democrats and Republicans and blah blah blah. But nobody thinks it's out of the box. And the thing is, it's like, you know, I heard you say earlier that Obama did make a promise. I feel like he overexerted himself in this one. He went out on a limb, and he made a promise that he could not fulfill. That was a little unfeasible. Actually, it was unfeasible. It wasn't even a little. It was.
No,
and
he knew it when he said it.
Exactly. And you know, the thing is, it's like, you know, he got called out by, what was it, Congress. And this whole bill shows everybody, if anything, that Congress, that our politics is not serving any of us. No matter what your party is, nobody is being served the way that they should be. Neither side at this point are for the people. They're all for themselves. They're all in Congress. They're all in the Senate, the Capitol Hill, and they're at each other's throats. Because if they really were for us, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
You got a point there.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, Alex.
I hear all this talk, and I think that people really, really miss the point. The you know, people say, well, you know, this wasn't planned well, the implementation, blah, blah, blah. And they miss the constitutional and historic principle of the matter that the government shouldn't be doing this in the first place. So it doesn't matter even if the rollout was perfect, I would still call your show and complain about Obamacare and about everything else that I complain about, because this isn't something that the federal government is supposed to be involved in. You know, that's the only reason. And I hear talk like, well, you know, our politics isn't serving us. Our government isn't serving us. And that's really a problem, because that's not the purpose of government. The only purpose of government is to protect our rights, our money, and our laws in terms of fraud and our national defense. Everything else, as our government was chartered, is up to us.
And I agree with you. I honestly agree with you. But
can I say something?
Hold on, Michigan. Hold on. Anthony, go ahead and reply.
Okay, here's the thing. You know, and I totally agree with what you're saying about how government got in, because, you know, private insurance firms have taken effect to this and they have to change people's policies. I completely agree. However, I find that, and you're right, but here's the thing. When you have President Obama running saying how he's going to do this and that for college kids and he starts making the promises, that's what pissed everybody off in the first place. So, and you know, the Constitution is the Constitution. You're absolutely correct. But again, they knew this when they were running for office. So why get people to vote them in, and why, you know, stand on people's votes and everything? If that's the case, and if they're not supposed to serve the people, then why not have them vote for themselves? Why should I have to sit up on election night watching and hoping that my favorite candidate wins and everything like that? You know, that's the thing that upsets me, is don't make promises that you can't keep, and don't extend your services beyond the federal government in protecting us and protecting our rights and against fraud and everything like that. And like I said, I do agree, but I find it a big problem when it gets exerted beyond that, to the point of, well, I'm going to do this and that for the country, and I'm going to bring the cost down. That, to me, is a direct hit to me personally, saying, okay, I might be able to get a job next week. So, you know, I understand your point, but that's the point that I'm making with that statement, is there was a lot of promises made that were not fulfilled.
You got a point there. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York, Westchester.
Well, welcome to Ohio.
Thank you.
Hey, go ahead, Michigan.
Yeah, listening to Alex, every now and then you can tell Alex is drinking that Kool-Aid too. You know, listen, Alex, when you look at this government, and you guys love to run back to the founding principles or the founding fathers. Now, what you need to do is just follow history and to see the expansion of government. Now, there's nothing wrong with a government expanding, and most governments do when the population expands. So what the founding principles or the founding ideas may have been may not necessarily be the same in 100 years, where you may have 10 times the amount of people that you're governing. So to see a government expand, to see its services increase, to see it do more specific things, there's nothing wrong with that. That in itself does not mean that government is bad, and it shouldn't be doing that. What happens is the people who – and this is the other thing. You guys talk about the government like it got dropped off in a spaceship. It got dropped on Earth.
The
government is nothing but the individuals organizing themselves for specific reasons. That's all the government is. So you are the government. You're not separate from the government.
But
yes, you
are. Hold on. Let me say this. Go ahead. Well, yes, you are, because you allowed yourself to be separated from the government.
Okay, now watch this. I'm going to say one thing. Take away the people, and what is a government?
It'll still operate because the way this country, the direction it's gone in, the government doesn't even need the people anymore because it prints its own money. When the Constitution was originally written, the government had to go to the people for money. But now we can print our own money. Everyone in this country can die, and as long as the U.S. currency is still in circulation, well, it can still fund all of its operations. I'm saying except for government employees and the army, there would still be a U.S. government, and that is the problem. The government is completely detached from the people, and it's delusional for you to think that you are the government.
Alex,
oh God, no.
Any action that you're talking about, the Federal Reserve, any of those things, if you take away the human aspect, it doesn't exist. So to separate the Federal Reserve from individual humans who find themselves within the same organization is ludicrous. The government is not separate from individuals. What is happening, Alex, is individuals who find themselves inside of this organization have interests. Some of them, and most of them, particularly in the capitalist society, they are driven by profit. And so you end up augmenting the government, or you end up with subsidiaries of the government because of that motive, the profit motive. But you're still talking about the same people. The government didn't ride in here on a train and announce that they came from outer space and we're the government.
They did in 1913.
They're the offspring of the founding fathers.
No, it's not. Not this current government. This government did ride in on a train in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act. I mean.
Let me say it this way.
Give me their names. Hey, Alex. Give me a list of their names, and I guarantee you they're related. Give me the names of the ones who rode in.
Well, what are you talking about? They are all related.
What you're not understanding is that, see, I think we have a fundamental misunderstanding of what government is and what it's supposed to be. You think that it's an extension of the people, and what I say, and the liberty theory or whatever, is that government is only force, and so it's not an extension of the people. Only thing the government can do is restrict your freedom, your liberty. That's the only thing the government can do, and so. If you look at it from that perspective, then you don't want more government, because the only thing the government is doing, the government doesn't create any economy or anything. Anytime the government grows, it's just taking away your liberty, because it has to take your taxes, your labor, to fund itself. Therefore, it's not an extension of you. It's just an imposition, a restriction of your liberty. And I think that's where the breakdown of this argument is coming from, is because we have a fundamental disagreement about what government is.
I totally agree with that.
I do too.
Totally. With that, oh my God, that was so well said.
Yeah, I totally disagree. We don't have a disagreement. Government can be whatever people make it. There was no handbook.
This is what happens, Michigan, because I only got 5 minutes to go before the end of the day, but listen to this. This is the problem. Most of us don't know what government is, and we don't know how to engage the government that we're in. And I keep on saying this to you. Ignorance is bliss. We are so ignorant. The reason why you can say we are the government, because we are the government when you are active participant in the government. But if you are just a side rider, all you're doing is, you know, going for the ride and calling it we and they, because other people are making decisions for you, and then you think that you are. That's the problem. People think that they're actually engaged in the government because they vote, not realizing the vote is not the engagement. It's the process that's the engagement. And that's ignorance.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay.
And when we actually start learning how to engage the process and start making some systemic changes, then we'll do something. But right now, people go to the polls and think they're doing something. All they're doing is voting for somebody else, that somebody else gave them privilege of the lesser of two evils.
And that, and basically the voting part is just the end result of an organizational mechanism. So to even spend a lot of time on that side of it is still ignorance. The voting is the last part of government.
But we have to begin to educate each other, talk to one another, have conversation with one another, and inform one another how to engage in the process. The reason why they keep on acting like they do up in D.C. is because they don't want you to know any better. That's how you can have all this other crazy stuff in the Affordable Health Care Act, have 1,900 pages, have them turned into 20,000 pages of execution, and it all be a flip-flop. And then somebody get up there who is a Speaker of the House say that we can't find any, we can't find out what's in the bill until we pass it. And then you got you got a president talking about transparency. We should have nailed her to a cross when she said that. She should have not. She should have known better not to say something stupid that you don't know what's in the bill until you pass it. And then we got media people talking about we should have vetted a little bit better and we should have been a little bit more critical. It's over now. And people are going to get hurt behind this. There are a lot of people that are going to lose behind this. They're going to lose their quality of life and their lives because of legislation. Right. And people are playing games with people's lives. And we can't say, oh, oops, I didn't mean to do that. This is not an oops moment. And it's going to be poor people that are going to hurt. Middle class working people who try to do something every day, we're the ones who are going to feel the brunt of all of us when the deal goes down, as we do with everything else in America.
The poor aren't going to be hurt by this. They've always had health coverage in this country. For 50 years, the poor have had health
coverage. Actually talking about the working poor, people like me.
Yeah, that's what I mean, the working poor, the upper lower class, factory workers and maintenance workers, you know, people that have those marginal jobs that don't traditionally pay high and up into your middle class. And it's going to hurt more than that because they were interviewing some families whose premiums have gone up $700-$800 a month. Well, they can cover that. But that means they cut their cable TV back to a $20 plan from an $80 plan. It means they go for haircuts and extend those 3 weeks longer than they normally would. That's money that doesn't then go into the local economy. This isn't just about who's going to pay a lot for health care. It's about who's going to have to tighten their belt so much it's going to hurt the rest of the GMP.
I got to go. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. God bless you. We'll see you on tomorrow if God says the same. Please, if you live in the Mahoning Valley in the Midwest, Northeast Quadrant, East Coast, please be careful because we have nothing but snow outside. And we'll see you on tomorrow.
Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every...
Bye, Tracy.